United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends. We're back inside the studio today. We're alive still, but we're not from the Cancel Fair, but we are in Studio Jefferson Studio with me. Today it's 8 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on WSOM AM 600. You're listening to Tracy and Friends on the 30th, I think the last 2 days, last work day of August. It's Labor Day weekend. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful day today. We're going to have a great weekend this weekend. It's nice and warm. It's not as warm as it was yesterday, though.
I'm leaving, Tracy.
Where are you going?
Going to get some corn.
Oh.
I'm going back to the fair.
I'm going. Down.
I'll call in from there. How about that?
No.
Ain't
no call in.
You can call in from the fair.
I can't call in.
It only happens once a year.
I can't call in from the. No.
I can call in from the fair. You can stay here and run the board.
One of the things the listeners that did come by and say hi to us, that listened to us, you guys have no idea how honored and how humbled I am that
Absolutely. You
guys took the time out to actually stop by the tent while your wife was down there. Chris, thank you so much. While your wife was with the kids in Kittyland, you walked over to say hi to us. That was just an honor and a privilege to meet you. Met another gentleman inside of one of the tents and want to say hello to you and say thank you. Met your family and tell Gracie, I think her name is Gracie. Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Jeff.
I can't remember.
Jeff.
But.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen to this. When you try to open something and try to be quiet,
yeah. It
doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Because that just to open it. Whatever it is you want to open, open it. There you go. Thank you very much.
That's why I'm going back to the fair. Because you interfere with my corn eating.
No, Jeff, we interfere with your eating. I've never seen anybody that never makes it, and when he does, he's still got a mouthful of food. I can't understand it for love nor money. I just don't get it.
That is just not true, Tracy. You just don't like men.
I love men.
Growing young boys.
I love men. I just don't love men.
Doesn't matter that I'm growing sideways now. I'm still growing.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You can reach us today. You can get in today. South Carolina, how you doing?
He's already there.
He's there. He said all
he got. Chap this high.
He said no. He said all he got yesterday was. Only thing he got was something. But that's so blind. Mike called me and said I can't get in. We're like, no joke, Doc. We couldn't get out. Hi. Hi, not so blind Mike. Is that you or is that South Carolina?
It's me, ma'am. How you doing, Miss Tracy?
You can't do that. I've had better days, but I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you sound excellent. And Jeff, hi to you too. And you guys can't take any more time off ever again. It was like going, we went cold turkey, not even halfway to methadone. I mean, you know.
You know, we didn't, we tried. We were having fun. Hopefully next year it'll work out better. We were having some problems with making the phone do what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it, and it didn't want to act right.
That darn English woman kept saying, "There's nothing scheduled, nothing scheduled." You know that Black Talk Radio, that English-sounding voice thing?
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people
were
doing that.
There's nothing scheduled.
We tried. Yeah. We tried. We were asking it to do more than we thought it wanted to do on a short notice. Because we thought it would just automatically work. You know, technology is supposed to do what we want it to do whenever we wanted to do it, and it wasn't doing it.
Yeah, well, we got worried that maybe the day before, because it was so hot and heated in this room, that we got you thrown off the air.
No, not yet.
Oh, you had some people here the other day. You were lucky to come in late.
Yeah, well, I had to apologize for that. I was way out of... No. Turn in character. I should not have done that. And so we'll see.
Jeff, part of being human is that every so often you get blindsided. And when you've had tragedies that anchor to those topics the way you have had in your life, it's just hard to keep your defenses up 24/7 and stay walking the perfect center of the line. It is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is
that.
No, it's not.
If you're passionate.
It is that. It is that because, you know, if it's something that's close. Now, if it's not so close, you know, well, yeah, you can deal with certain things a certain way. But when you hear key phrases to something that is something close to you, it's just like, it's sort of like sends you over over an edge. And it's, you know, it's not that you should, that you're justified. It's just sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I said, I was wrong and I apologize for my outburst.
Yeah. It's all part of the growing process. You know, there's lots of things in my past from my childhood and stuff that I do okay with now. And then every so often, somebody who takes a certain attitude or a certain tact, they find a new road into the minefield that I never knew was there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all part of growing and growing up, I guess, you know? But, you know, it was a heated debate. It was a heated debate, yeah. And
mm-hmm.
I think everybody came away. I listened to everybody, you know, even though some of the people were shouting and screaming and yelling and being abusive and stuff. And you were the least of it, Jeff, believe me. And if you listen to the recording of the show, which is always a good thing to do if, you know, hear yourself, and you were in a tough situation. You were trying
to... Well, I hate to tell you this.
Train.
But that was the day before yesterday, and most of us don't know what the heck you're talking about. So
I hate
stop
my
this.
Own voice.
So we're going to stop this conversation now because I'm bored to wits because I have no clue.
Okay.
And if we don't know, we don't know. And if they're not listening and they don't know, then they really as bored as I am.
But entices
them. No, you're missing the Mike. Mike. Call him on the cell phone. You want his number?
Sure. Don't give it out.
Y'all can work that out. Y'all can work out the psychological differences.
No, what I'm saying is that builds your brand to know that, hey, there's something wild and I missed it. People now tune in more often.
Yeah, it might build your brand if we know what we're talking. Mike, we build your brand if we know what you're talking about. But if we don't have a clue what you're talking about, I don't have a clue.
Well, remember the marketing campaign for Busch Beer? Remember all they did was ran commercials for 2 years that said, Bush, and nobody knew what it was, and the day it came on the market, it sold millions of bottles.
That's true.
Curiosity marketing works.
It does work, but that's
why you open half the emails you get, because you go, what the heck is this? Then you read
no,
it.
I don't. No.
Okay.
No. Definitely not. But I do have questions. It's my understanding that we might be going to war. They say Americans want Obama to go to Congress to get okay on Syria.
Americans do want this?
That's what I hear. USA Today poll says Americans want Obama to get Congress okay for Syria. So all of a sudden he's going to go to Congress and get an okay for Syria, and then they're going to blame the Republicans because they think that only Republicans control Congress, but they don't realize Congress is a Congress and the Senate.
I do not believe that poll one iota.
that's a half truth, that poll. Yes, there's two polls taken, and they're in opposite areas. One is most Americans are against going to war, but nobody wants the president to make that decision alone. They want him to go to Congress. So they're splitting hairs there when they say, you know, he's going to get the approval because everyone's not behind him. The country is not behind him, but they don't want to see him circumvent Congress because they want to be heard.
The question is, no. See, this is a ploy. You got to understand how this is a psychological ploy. We want President Obama to go to Congress and get permission. So if it goes bad, we can blame Congress for letting him go, and he won't take the fall.
Him. Right.
And if it goes good, he can take credit because he went. You following me?
The
second thing is, and I think Jeff wrote a posting on Facebook yesterday. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And this was the posting, and the posting went like this. We didn't in Somalia, they was killing people.
Sudan.
Uh-huh. They was killing people. Uganda?
2 million people.
Uh-huh. Uganda was killing people.
2 million. Over 2 million.
Other places have been, you know, killing their own people.
Uh-huh.
And America has no, they have no horse in that race.
Uh-huh.
So why are we even entertaining going? Is it because he said there was a red line, a line in the sand, a crossing point?
Uh-huh.
What's the issue here? And what makes us go to the Sudan or to Syria, but not to the Sudan?
Right. And why is it that when Iran does all the egregious things they do, everybody just goes to the UN and asks for another resolution for 7-8 years now? Why don't they ask for resolutions against Syria? Why do we all of a sudden have to get involved in this? Where's the rest of the world?
Because you're going to make sure that you control who's going to be the petrodollar. That's what this is all about. And that's all it's about. It's about the situation of whether Yemen or I forget. Let me do my research first, and I'll come back with the exact country.
I'm reading the Bloomberg Business Week, and it says pushing Assad won't end the war in Syria.
Uh-huh.
And the byline says, let me get this right. It says, and what they actually said was, don't expect to see any statue of Obama in Damascus if we strike Syria.
That's absolutely true.
Alabama, your mic is on.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, darling? Missed you yesterday, but we couldn't get anybody up.
Y'all couldn't have nobody on there.
We couldn't get through. We couldn't get it out. Couldn't get it in. Couldn't get it around.
Well,
so we had to.
You got to excuse me. I'm trying to walk out, but I think this Syria situation is gonna get ugly real quick, and it's gonna come back and bite us all in the. You know what? I mean, we need to pull back. I think it's gonna lead to a war with Russia. Russia's already doing some exercises in there. They're not playing. They've already said they're gonna stand with Assad. I think we need to hold on. Go ahead.
Hold on. Go ahead. No, we'll wait for you. Go ahead. I got another issue. If Mike and Jeff, because you know I'm not a foreign policy person, so I don't know a whole lot.
Uh huh.
But as I head up to my 20-minute break, I thought we broke. The number 347-945-5229. When I come back, y'all need to tell me because I thought we broke.
Uh huh.
And if we broke, I need to know, if we broke, how are we going forward a solo strike on Syria? I thought we broke.
We ain't broke.
We are broke.
No, we're broke. We're broke for what we don't need to do. But see, if you don't take part in this and you're not the petrodollar again,
you're going to be broke.
You're going to be broke.
See. So
you're gonna be broke.
So we gonna fight to the end and die, or we gonna fight to the end and live. But however we need to fight, because if we don't fight, we gonna die. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we need to fight to finance. We need to fight to finance the big companies to make money on this. That's where the money's going. and the Federal Reserve but printed all day long to back them.
Absolutely.
I can't have the Federal Reserve just blowing money because paper money doesn't have any weight if it doesn't have any value.
That's why.
Well, they don't want it to have any value.
I need for it to have value. I need for it to be, you know, you're missing the point, Jeff. I need money to have value. I'm tired. And right now we're striking at McDonald's. I'll be right back. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 20 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
This is what your government thinks. The same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. In studio with me is Jeff, and Mike, not so blind, Mike is on the phone with us. I think Alabama was there. Oh, he left out. The number for you to call in, if you can join this conversation with us, the number is 347-945-5229. And I want to go back to what I asked right before I went to the break, because I said, you know, we broke. And Jeff made the comment that, you know, we are not so broke, but if we change how the petrodollars are exchanged, we going to be broke.
Going to be broke.
So we broke, but that broke. So my question is, do we really understand, and how do we get around this? And if America is as weak as it is right now, without the God that it has, because we know we kicked him out,
mm-hmm.
And with no moral compass because we kicked that out, with a military who is wimpy because we've weakened them, and a politically correct society, and we're going to go to war. We ain't war to war since World War II or the Korean War, I think. Can somebody please tell me what's we going to do? Because I have.
What's we going to do?
What's we going to do? Because, you know, I ain't birthed no babies.
You get me straight, Butterfly McQueen. I don't know nothing about birthing no babies.
I
don't know nothing about going to no war.
I don't know nothing about going to war. See, I'm looking at this, and so they want President Obama to go to Congress and get permission so it can blow up in their face and not in his face, since we think Congress is owned by the Republicans and not the Democrats.
Exactly.
But Congress is balanced, all in power. And so I need for us to tell each other, how are we going to do this? Because this is not good.
Well, here's the thing. Russia is threatening.
Russia said to kick rocks. He said if we go in, they coming in.
And why did they say they're going to go to Saudi Arabia?
That's what they said,
too. That's what they said, right? Listen to me. This is about petrodollars and who's going to be controlling it. Russia and China are the only two. Are the two leading nations that have been calling for a new currency for oil. Now, they've been doing it ever since President Obama has taken over. Okay, so now, here it is. We're going through all of this, and then you have, you know, President Obama telling Medvedev, tell Putin we'll be a little more flexible after election.
Flexible
now,
about what?
How flexible are you being right now? How where did that get you?
But I don't even want to go to the flexible. I want to know.
That's what this is about.
Hold on, I want to know. I'm confused, y'all.
Yeah.
And Mike, jump in the conversation. I need to know, because I'm like everybody else. I just go to work and come home and try to pay the bills and try to get things done. And I need to know if Russia said they're gonna go after Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is supposed to be my friend, and Israel sitting on the sidelines, you know, counting their chickens,
and
Iraq is sitting over there, and we're using weapons of mass destruction, and we already can't take care of the military that we got that's already coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and we got people over here as dumb as a cluck, so even if we go to the draft, we don't want them to hold a gun. Tell me, what we going to do? Because this is a mess.
Well, it is a mess, but this is a mess of
convenience?
Epic proportion, and it was a plan. This is a plan for this conflict to happen by the globalists. The globalists have to have a place where they show the change and where everything comes to change the oil currency. Now, either that's going to be us, as in how the right side progressives planned it when they had Henry Kissinger go and create OPEC. And the thing about OPEC was, at the end of OPEC, they were going to double cross them, and then they were going to become the oil producer. We knew we could produce oil, but see, we didn't know how much oil Russia had.
Mike, what do you think about this?
I'm just listening to Jeff, and there's a lot of history in this, and he's right. There was so much backroom dealing on all this stuff that what we're hearing in the press just isn't the truth. I have friends who are reporters overseas in other countries, and what they're telling, and I trust my friends because I get the straight story out of them, and they're telling me what's being reported in their press is like 180 degrees opposite what we're hearing.
Well, my understanding is we's in trouble.
Yeah.
And President Bush has weighed in on this. The former President Bush, you know, the one that we don't like, and he, you know, the idiot.
George the Gracious, yes.
Yes.
That's what I call him, King
he
George
said,
the Gracious. He left office. He never spoke up again. He knew his place.
He just made a comment. Hold on. I'm going to play it for you. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
You want to hear it? Here it go. I can't believe he weighed in on this.
Be with you, and Brian joins us now live from Dallas, Texas, with a big interview with President Bush this morning, and also more on Folds of Honor. Good morning.
Yep, thank you very much, Anna. Good morning to you. It's the seventh year of the Patriot Golf Day, where golfers come out to support military spouses and the children of wounded or fallen warriors. It's an unbelievable program. We've been chronicling it all morning long and for the last few years. One of the biggest supporters is here with me right now, the 43rd President of the United States, President George W. Bush. President Bush, great to see you. And Major Dan Rooney, who put this all together. First off, Mr. President, how did he win you over?
They're talking about that first. I'm trying to get to. Well, let me give you his words in a nutshell were, President Bush said President Obama has a huge decision ahead of him. Huge, because President Obama this morning was white as a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
He was, mm-hmm. And I mean his hair. He was salt and pepper on what Wednesday, uh-huh. for the walking down the steps at the memorial at the reflecting pool.
You remember when George Soros sent him a message and said, "Are you not the one?"
Go ahead.
Are you not the one we're looking for, or shall we go ahead and go find another one to do what we want? He made that statement. Nobody, of course, the believers didn't listen to it, but he made that statement 2 years ago. You're seeing the puppet now understand who's pulling the strings, because they used him to move our economy, the world, politics, everything. Look at how we had two people that were friendly toward the West. Why did they remove those two people? Bashar Assad is one. Mubarak was another. Why did you take him out of power? And why has McCain all got his underwear tied up in a knot trying to get Bashar Assad out of control? You have to look at the dynamic of what's going on over there where it comes to energy.
That's amazing.
It's what it is.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. That's amazing. You know that, right? Does anybody realize that?
No,
they
don't know it
because... people. Jeff, it's just not those two people. Those are the heads of government.
Hmm.
What about those trumped-up charges on Khan, the director of the International Monetary Fund? He was getting in the way with some of the policies he was going to do, so they got rid of him with that trumped-up, he molested a maid charge, which it was later
exactly.
Just dropped, and they've got Christine Lagarde, who walks the line now and does exactly what the backward interests in the UN want. And I call them backward interests. I mean trying to change things in their favor, you know, spin it backward. That's what I'm looking for. That's the word.
And they're doing this while they have us fighting each other, talking about Republican, Democrat, social justice, all this BS. We're going through all this BS and all this fakery, and then these people are playing a huge game that's going to cause a lot of people to die.
Ooh, gee.
Guy broke too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
but I'm talking about you're going to have a lot of people die. You know, if they go to war,
chemical weapons. We're not prepared for that, are we?
We think we are, but you've never tested it in a war situation. You're never really prepared until you face it.
Plus, they don't care. Don't forget, you have a president that is hell-bent on making sure nobody has a baby. Hell-bent on it. What is that about?
Yeah, I heard a real interesting point of view today saying that there was a time when in the Black communities, there were ribbon cuttings for grocery stores and banks opening up. Now they're doing ribbon cuttings for Planned Parenthood centers to open up.
Exactly.
That is.
Why are they doing this, Tracy? You see, this. You know, we come on here day after day, and I know it's Friday. We don't want to be too far heavy into this, but look at this. for what it is. You have a guy that's spreading. He's the evangelist for the LGBT community. He's evangelizing the world, going to other countries and telling them, if you don't give us, okay. You don't agree with us, we're going to give you, you know, we're not going to give you foreign aid. And Kenya told him to go pound rock.
Hold on. CSN News reported this morning that President Obama said sex ed for kindergartens is the right thing to do. The Chicago public schools this year are mandating that the district's kindergarten classes include sex education and fulfilling a proposal President Obama supported in 2003 when he served as Illinois state senator and later defended when he ran for president in 2008.
You know the law they want to pass in Congress, that Congress can't pass a law that isn't binding on them also? They'd have a law called the president can't even talk about education until he puts his two kids back into public school.
That would be a good one.
I mean, you know, a little retro after the fact, a little late, but anybody in their right mind that thinks you need to be teaching sex to little children, let them be innocent as long as they can be. They'll learn.
But I'm just saying, I mean, I'm looking at, I mean, because people don't look at how this actually, the amoral society of the leadership and of the society, how it ties to what the current events of the Middle East and our social economic status and foreign policy. And people don't build the bridge of how they merge. And then you tell God to go pound salt because we don't need him no more. I'm sorry, you can't be this God bless America and then be stupid before you say it. I'm just serious. I mean, you can't. It doesn't work that way. You gotta at the end of every speech, you want to God bless America, but you want to say something stupid for the first 20, 40 minutes inside of the speech, and at the end, you just want to say, "And God bless the USA." And you want to talk about the United States of America, and you want to say it in name only, but when you really look at it, you are not the USA. What you are is the divided states of America. You can't have both. It doesn't work. And no one wants to address what is really going on when I'm talking about this, because this is really not good at all. And it's very, very sour when you step back from the mirror and you look at the whole view of the picture of what's going on right now. And as we go to celebrate Labor Day, we're not paying attention to what's going on.
Is there anything going to be left for parents to uniquely do for their children to convey their values, morals, intelligence, and past experience? Or are they expecting that the whole thing is going to be handled by somebody the government hires, like a teacher or a congressman or whatever?
You cannot raise children through a governmental system, through a bureaucracy.
Yeah, but that's what
and we're children of the state. If anybody ever has anybody met a whole lot of people who've actually been raised up in the foster care program and group homes, and really what happens to them? I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A truck driver from California chose jail time over a court hearing in Youngstown. The man refused to appear before Judge Lou Dopolito on indecent exposure and obstruction of justice charges. Dopolito told deputies to inform the man he had two choices, appear in court or go back to jail. The man chose jail. He's set to appear in court, though, next week. A Youngstown man says he was molested as a teen by a teacher at St. Christine's School, and he says his alleged abuser still works in the diocese. But his statement from the Catholic Diocese of Youngstown says, quote, the accused is no longer working in the diocese in any capacity. Second, the diocese followed its policy and procedures and reported the allegation to Mahoning County Children's Services. And a Youngstown man is convicted for a murder of an Ashtabula man that happened 16 years ago. A jury found John Drummond Jr. guilty of aggravated murder and other charges. He's one of six linked to the killing. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. He's Sweet Jack, Sweet Jack, he's SweetJack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks.
Celebrate the harvest at the 167th Annual Canfield Fair, now through Labor Day. Live broadcast from the Canfield Fair, brought to you by Once Upon a Child and Plato's Closet of Boardman on 224. For more information, including a complete schedule of grandstand events and concerts, visit canfieldfair.com. 6 days of family, friends, fun, and food at the 167th Annual Canfield Fair.
Before the hunt begins, hunt down Glenn's Archery and Tackle at Guilford Lake. Glenn's Archery and Tackle is a full-line archery and pro shop built with the hunter in mind, featuring a 20-yard indoor archery range and an outdoor 3D archery range. Glenn's has all the top brand names in bows and crossbows, as well as everything you need to fill out your tackle box. Right now, get 10% off archery sights and rests. Glenn's Archery and Tackle, Baker Road and East Lake Road at Guilford Lake. See our store online at archeryplus.com.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
With the AIDS case rate in D.C. being 10 times the national average, what will you do to make sure that schools and programs like mine are encouraged to teach medically accurate, age-appropriate, and responsible sex education?
Step number one, I'm an original co-sponsor of the Prevention First Act, which will provide money for comprehensive and medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education in the schools. Now, keep in mind that we've been in this fight. You know, Pam and I, back in Illinois, when I was the chairman of the Health Care Committee, helped to push through legislation. And I remember Alan Keyes. I ran against Alan Keyes. I don't know if you guys remember Alan Keyes. But I remember him using this in his campaign against me, saying Barack Obama supports teaching sex education to kindergartners, and you know, which I didn't know what to tell him. but it's the right thing to do, to provide age appropriate sex education, science based sex education in the schools. You as a peer can have enormous power over your age cohort, but you've got to have some support from the schools. You certainly shouldn't have to be fighting each and every instance by providing accurate information outside the classroom, because inside the classroom, the only thing that can be talked about is abstinence.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600 at 5 years old, kindergarten, 5 years old, kindergarten. I think abstinence is a good conversation for teaching young people. They shouldn't be... Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Jeff is in studio. We want to hear from you today. Yep, not so blind Mike. He's sitting in the wings on the phone. 817, your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon. How y'all doing today?
Good afternoon.
Donnie from Texas again.
Hey, Mr. Texas.
Hey, you know, I'm concerned about, I want to get y'all input on what y'all think about all these protests that's going on all across the country right now, as far as McDonald's employees walking out of McDonald's protests and all across the country. What y'all think about that?
Let me tell you what I think. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. If you don't want to work at McDonald's for minimum wage and you need to perfect the craft and go get another job. But do you know how much it will cost me to get a McDonald's burger if the minimum wage at McDonald's is $15 an hour? Because,
mm-hmm.
see, if the man in business ain't making a profit, he either going to shut it down or pull it up. Because no one's in business to be in business.
Right.
So we need, and actually, we need to quit this, whatever I do, I need to get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a better job, you need to go get a better skill. And if you can't
exactly.
get a better skill, then you need to work that out with you and your creator.
Mm-hmm. And go to
because
college.
paying you just to because you want more money and your skill set is not worth the money that I'm paying you, then you have a problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As the comment was so told to me today by a gentleman who is a nuclear power plant engineer, and there's a lot of people out of work in that industry. He said, these kids want $15 an hour. 70% of them can't even do basic arithmetic. He said, I have engineering friends with college degrees working for $12 an hour, but they can do math. That's why they got those
right.
jobs, because they can do math. They can go to work for a bookkeeping agency or somewhere where math matters. These kids who want that $15 an hour or people, they're only 90 days away from a higher-paying job if they just would learn basic arithmetic. And there's so many places you can go today online and publicly we can get free education or learn some computer skills.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about going to college 5 years. We're talking about 90 days away from having the skills so you can get a $10 an hour job instantly.
Right.
Listen to this. It doesn't take much. But if you think about this, when the power goes out, stores have to close because you can't count change back.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Uh-huh.
You gotta come on now.
You're right. But you know what? Also, how many people out there are so desperate for jobs that you sit up here and protesting? How many people will go in to get a job at McDonald's just to be able to make, you know,
exactly.
survive somehow kind of way? So while you out here doing all this protest, there's people out there that's looking for a job that don't mind taking that $7.25 an hour, don't mind taking $8 an hour, just to have something.
Well, hey, Texas, it's the whole situation you just described speaks really well to how little educated these kids are. They don't understand best economics, and that's during hard times like this where there's a lot of people unemployed. They have no leverage because you're right. They, you know, somebody say, well, I'm sorry. Hey, go out there. Get a raise. I'm sorry I can't help you. Can't meet your demands. They, you know, they don't even understand basic economics of supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge demand for jobs, and there's a very small supply of jobs, and 7.25 is what you get. If not, there's the door.
Right.
Let me add this one to you.
Yeah.
I told this to a guy yesterday. I said, you want me to raise up above minimum wage a job where the people can't count and they can't read, so they put the pictures of the doggone food on the
You know, remember, Sinbad made a joke.
Well, I didn't hear Sinbad's joke, but
he made a joke 20 years ago, and he said it was so bad. He said they were going to start putting pictures on the cash register so they could be able to find how to charge you for the food that you're getting ready to get.
And McDonald's owes him too, because that's just what they did, and they put the pictures of the food on so you can ring it up right. People don't have the faintest idea. Now that skill set, I'm supposed to want to pay them $15 an hour. Come on.
You're right.
Come on.
Yeah, you can't go in there and say the hamburger went up 99 cents. You got to change the picture.
Wait a minute, your hamburger will cost you $15.
And you want it heated? They got a little picture with the burger with flame under it.
But y'all make a y'all make a good point, because a lot of them kids can't read or write. Some of them can't count change back to you. Some of them don't even count change back to you. They just hand the money over to you, and I have to count my change back to make sure y'all.
And they're not being groomed for any communication skills. And they're not being groomed for communication skills. They mumble. They don't talk to you. The whole transaction can be handled by a robot.
You're right.
That's a problem.
They don't have no customer service experience.
No. And no idea of what is proper customer service. They're just clueless. And they want $15. Listen, I'm going to forget everything I know, start beating my head with a 2x4, and go to work for McDonald's for $15 an hour. If that ever comes to pass, I'm going to go have a lobotomy and go get a job.
This is an issue. And so now, as you bring this up, and we're talking about right now, we're talking about going into Syria. We've got a serious social economic problem in America. Folks going on strike for a job that they don't want to come to, don't want to do, and think they're owed more because they work at McDonald's. And they should not be there trying to raise a family of four, trying to feed them. And you shouldn't have – listen, I don't understand this. And if somebody can explain this to me, I would be very, very appreciative. What in the world is going on with people going out and making babies that they can't take care of the babies they already have?
Thank you.
And these men are up here making and giving babies, and they can't take care of the ones they've got. And we're talking about grown butt men.
Yeah, you're right.
South Carolina, your mic is on, too.
Tracy, I'm boycotting the show. You, Jeff, and Sticks went to the fair, and you know, I was sitting there at my desk hungry, and y'all talking about all this food.
Man,
you better send me something Federal Express tomorrow.
Folks bought so much food,
so cold.
It was ridiculous. You hear me?
Listen, we took food home.
Yeah.
People didn't have to eat. We didn't have to cook last night because between Antone's and my peppers, my what was his name?
I missed the peppers.
The peppers were the guy's name was the drunken moose.
Drunken moose. Oh yeah, yeah.
And the corn people and the donuts. I had a full meal.
Listen. The food is excellent too, because the guy, the Antone's guy is
Roshana.
I play for him for New Year's for his New Year's celebration every year. So out at his banquet facility, and it's like, oh man, we're happy about going out there because the food is good.
Oh no, you never miss. The Georgetown and Antone's, you never miss. No matter what. We gotta go get a check.
I'll drive by tonight. I'll get you.
Well,
I gotta go get.
I just want to know. I just want to know if he pays his employees minimum wage.
Yes.
Hey man, if you get in the car right now, you could be here by tomorrow. And we could get you right in the fair, man.
I got tickets here.
By here, I'll share my roast beef sandwiches with them. I got the roast beef with some good stuff on it, the cheese and olives. And I'll share that with you.
Oh, man, they got so many food places out there, it's ridiculous, man. Food just all over the place, you hear me?
Yeah. I mean,
All right, Sal. You can't boycott, though, man, because...
Jeff, speaking of the drunken moose, did you see the news today that elk all over the country are drunk in the wild?
They eating the gooseberries?
Yeah, eating because of all the rainy weather we've had. A lot of apples have fallen off trees and fruit, and they're on the ground. And instead of rotting, the sugar in them is fermenting, and the animals are eating them and then getting drunk from the alcohol in the apples on the ground. And there's towns with herds of drunken elk running around the town.
You know what?
You had to go to the Elk Club to find drunk people, but now you can just see them in your backyard.
Tracy, it's the truth. What happened down in Georgia with my father-in-law, they planted watermelons. Okay. And the watermelons were fine, and then the rain came. Well, they couldn't get to the field. By the time they got to them, almost all of them had split. I mean, South Carolina, as far as agriculture, has been declared a disaster area. Because of all the rain we got this year.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
36 out of the 46 counties in the state have 80% of the crops lost because they can't get the tractors in the field. It's too wet.
Yep.
So we're expecting high prices at McDonald's because of labor, and the cost of the lettuce on your Big Mac now.
Well, look, I remember
let me
this,
hear.
But I.
Yeah.
You see people out in the parking lot with tomatoes up their sleeve trying to sell you tomatoes on the black market. You'll see. Hey, bro, you got tomatoes? I got tomatoes.
Hold on, guys. Listen, in Texas, you still out there? You know, all you just have to do is jump in. It's like double dutch.
Hey,
it's Friday and it's open
I'm
mic.
I'm just enjoying listening.
If
when
you
I'm
going
out little,
crazy,
had...
you will go crazy what's going on in the world today.
That's what I'm saying. We're screwing stuff up so bad, I don't think we understand how bad we're making it for the future. And we're not.
Yeah,
this is not good.
No one's thinking about the future. They're thinking about the next 6 minutes. That's it. It's six-minute planning. We're down to that.
I can't think about that. I've got to think about the future. I've got, you know.
The globalists are thinking about the future.
Yeah. They got your future all planned out, so you don't have to worry about it.
Mm. Oh no! They don't have my no. They have my plan, my future planned out for me, for them, not for me.
Exactly.
I need to start taking responsibility for my own.
Yep, I agree.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break in a few minutes. We're at the top of the hour. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. South Carolina and Mike, you want the mics up or down?
Up, please, so we can all chat.
Leave them up.
Yeah, leave
them all
up.
Right, I'll
we'll
leave them
fun.
Up so you guys can chat. So you have to deal with me. See how they treat me, guys? They don't even want to be bothered with me.
Go make some money so we can keep the lights open so
okay.
We can chat when you're not here.
Listen, I'll be right back.
Including the leadership of the Congressional National Security Committees. And he asked us to consult about what we know regarding the horrific chemical weapons attack in the Damascus suburbs last week. I will tell you that as someone who spent nearly three decades in the United States Congress, I know that that consultation is the right way for a president to approach a decision of when and how and if to use military force. And it's important to ask the tough questions and get the tough answers before taking action, not just afterwards. And I believe, as President Obama does, that it is also important to discuss this directly with the American people. That's our responsibility, to talk with the citizens who have entrusted all of us in the administration and the Congress with responsibility for their security. That's why this morning's release of our government's unclassified estimate of what took place in Syria is so important. Its findings are as clear as they are compelling. I'm not asking you to take my word for it. Read for yourself, everyone, those listening, all of you, read for yourselves the evidence from thousands of sources, evidence that is already publicly available. And read for yourselves the verdict reached by our intelligence community about the chemical weapons attack the Assad regime inflicted on the opposition and on opposition-controlled or contested neighborhoods in the Damascus suburbs on the early morning of August 21st. Our intelligence community has carefully reviewed and re-reviewed information regarding this attack. And I will tell you, it has done so more than mindful of the Iraq experience. We will not repeat that moment. Accordingly, we have taken unprecedented steps to declassify and make facts available to people who can judge for themselves. But still, in order to protect sources and methods, some of what we know will only be released to members of Congress, the representatives of the American people. That means that some things we do know, we can't talk about publicly. So what do we really know that we can talk about? Well, we know that the Assad regime has the largest chemical weapons program in the entire Middle East. We know that the regime has used those weapons multiple times this year, and has used them on a smaller scale, but still it has used them against its own people, including not very far from where last Wednesday's attack happened. We know that the regime was specifically determined to rid the Damascus suburbs of the opposition, and it was frustrated that it hadn't succeeded in doing so. We know that for 3 days before the attack, the Syrian regime's chemical weapons personnel were on the ground, in the area, making preparations. And we know that the Syrian regime elements were told to prepare for the attack by putting on gas masks and taking precautions associated with chemical weapons. We know that these were specific instructions. We know where the rockets were launched from and at what time. We know where they landed and when. We know rockets came only from regime-controlled areas and went only to opposition-controlled or contested neighborhoods. And we know, as does the world, that just 90 minutes later, all hell broke loose in the social media. With our own eyes, we have seen the thousands of reports from 11 separate sites in the Damascus suburbs. All of them show and report victims with breathing difficulties, people twitching with spasms, coughing, rapid heartbeats, foaming at the mouth, unconsciousness, and death. And we know it was ordinary Syrian citizens who reported all of these horrors. And just as important, we know what the doctors and the nurses who treated them didn't report. Not a scratch, not a shrapnel wound, not a cut, not a gunshot wound. We saw rows of dead lined up in burial shrouds, the white linen unstained by a single drop of blood. Instead of being tucked safely in their beds at home, we saw rows of children lying side by side, sprawled on a hospital floor, all of them dead from Assad's gas and surrounded by parents and grandparents who had suffered the same fate. The United States government now knows that at least 1,429 Syrians were killed in this attack, including at least 426 children. Even the first responders, the doctors, nurses, and medics who tried to save them, they became victims themselves. We saw them gasping for air, terrified that their own lives were in danger. This is the indiscriminate, inconceivable horror of chemical weapons. This is what Assad did to his own people. We also know many disturbing details about the aftermath. We know that a senior regime official who knew about the attack confirmed that chemical weapons were used by the regime, reviewed the impact, and actually was afraid that they would be discovered. We know this. And we know what they did next. I personally called the foreign minister of Syria, and I said to him, if, as you say, your nation has nothing to hide, then let the United Nations in immediately and give the inspectors the unfettered access so they have the opportunity to tell your story. Instead, for 4 days, they shelled the neighborhood in order to destroy evidence, bombarding block after block at a rate 4 times higher than they had over the previous 10 days. And when the UN inspectors finally gained access, that access, as we now know, was restricted and controlled. In all of these things that I have listed, in all of these things that we know, all of them, the American intelligence community has high confidence. High confidence. This is common sense. This is evidence. These are facts. So the primary question is really no longer, what do we know? The question is, what are we collectively, what are we in the world going to do about it? As previous storms in history have gathered, when unspeakable crimes were within our power to stop them, we have been warned against the temptations of looking the other way. History is full of leaders who have warned against inaction, indifference, and especially against silence when it mattered most. Our choices then,
Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSON.
It matters that nearly 100 years ago, in direct response to the utter horror and inhumanity of World War I, that the civilized world agreed that chemical weapons should never be used again. That was the world's resolve then. And that began nearly a century of effort to create a clear red line for the international community. It matters today that we are working as an international community to rid the world of the worst weapons. That's why we signed agreements like the START Treaty, the New START Treaty, the Chemical Weapons Convention, which more than 180 countries, including Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon, have signed on to. It matters to our security and the security of our allies. It matters to Israel. It matters to our close friends, Jordan, Turkey, and Lebanon, all of whom live just a stiff breeze away from Damascus. It matters to all of them where the Syrian chemical weapons are, and if unchecked, they can cause even greater death and destruction to those friends. And it matters deeply to the credibility and the future interests of the United States of America and our allies. It matters because a lot of other countries whose policies challenge these international norms are watching. They are watching. They want to see whether the United States and our friends mean what we say. It is directly related to our credibility and whether countries still believe the United States when it says something. They are watching to see if Syria can get away with it, because then maybe they too can put the world at greater risk. And make no mistake, in an increasingly complicated world of sectarian and religious extremist violence, what we choose to do or not do matters in real ways to our own security. Some cite the risk of doing things. But we need to ask, what is the risk of doing nothing? It matters because if we choose to live in a world where a thug and a murderer like Bashar al-Assad can gas thousands of his own people with impunity, even after the United States and our allies said no, and then the world does nothing about it, there will be no end to the test of our resolve and the dangers that will flow from those others who believe that they can do as they will. This matters also beyond the limits of Syria's borders. It is about whether Iran, which itself has been a victim of chemical weapons attacks, will now feel emboldened in the absence of action to obtain nuclear weapons. It is about Hezbollah and North Korea and every other terrorist group or dictator that might ever again contemplate the use of weapons of mass destruction. Will they remember that the Assad regime was stopped from those weapons, current or future use? Or will they remember that the world stood aside and created impunity? So our concern is not just about some far-off land, oceans away. That's not what this is about. Our concern with the cause of the defenseless people of Syria is about choices that will directly affect our role in the world and our interests in the world. It is also profoundly about who we are. We are the United States of America. We are the country that has tried, not always successfully, but always tried, to honor a set of universal values around which we have organized our lives and our aspirations. This crime against conscience, this crime against humanity, this crime against the most fundamental principles of international community, against the norm of the international community, This matters to us. And it matters to who we are. And it matters to leadership and to our credibility in the world. My friends, it matters here if nothing is done. It matters if the world speaks out in condemnation and then nothing happens. America should feel confident and gratified that we are not alone in our condemnation and we are not alone in our will to do something about it and to act. The world is speaking out, and many friends stand ready to respond. The Arab League pledged, quote, to hold the Syrian regime fully responsible for this crime. The Organization for Islamic Cooperation condemned the regime and said we needed, quote, to hold the Syrian government legally and morally accountable for this heinous crime. Turkey said there is no doubt that the regime is responsible. Our oldest ally, the French, said the regime, quote, committed this vile action, and it is an outrage to use weapons that the community has banned for the last 90 years in all international conventions. The Australian Prime Minister said he didn't want history to record that we were, quote, a party to turning such a blind eye. So now that we know what we know, the question we must all be asking is, what will we do? Let me emphasize, President Obama, we in the United States, we believe in the United Nations. And we have great respect for the brave inspectors who endured regime gunfire and obstructions to their investigation. But as Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General, has said again and again, the UN investigation will not affirm who used these chemical weapons. That is not the mandate of the UN investigation. They will only affirm whether such weapons were used. By the definition of their own mandate, the UN can't tell us anything that we haven't shared with you this afternoon or that we don't already know. And because of the guaranteed Russian obstructionism of any action through the UN Security Council, the UN cannot galvanize the world to act as it should. So let me be clear. We will continue talking to the Congress, talking to our allies, and most importantly, talking to the American people. President Obama will ensure that the United States of America makes our own decisions on our own timelines, based on our values and our interests. Now, we know that after a decade of conflict, the American people are tired of war. Believe me, I am too. But fatigue does not absolve us of our responsibility. Just longing for peace does not necessarily bring it about. And history would judge us all extraordinarily harshly if we turned a blind eye to a dictator's wanton use of weapons of mass destruction against all warnings, against all common understanding of decency. These things we do know. We also know that we have a president who does what he says that he will do. And he has said very clearly that whatever decision he makes in Syria, it will bear no resemblance to Afghanistan, Iraq, or even Libya. It will not involve any boots on the ground. It will not be open-ended, and it will not assume responsibility for a civil war that is already well underway. The president has been clear. Any action that he might decide to take will be limited and tailored response to ensure that a despot's brutal and flagrant use of chemical weapons is held accountable. And ultimately, we are committed, we remain committed, we believe it's the primary objective, is to have a diplomatic process that can resolve this through negotiation, because we know there is no ultimate military solution. It has to be political. It has to happen at the negotiating table. And we are deeply committed to getting there. So that is what we know. That's what the leaders of Congress now know. And that's what the American people need to know. And that is at the core of the decisions that must now be made for the security of our country and for the promise of a planet where the world's most heinous weapons must never again be used against the world's most vulnerable people. Thank you very much. Fox News alerts.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, the number is 347-945-5229. There's open mic. I had to play that when I was going to break. I saw that Secretary of State Kerry was speaking, and I think that's a little bit important. Jeff was sitting over here having a coronary.
I don't have coronaries over stuff like this.
What were you saying, Jeff?
I don't have coronaries over stuff like that. I was having a spizzorectomy.
That's
different. I'm not killing myself for these fools. Come on now.
I saw a lot of what there was a song called Much Ado About Nothing. There was a movie Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
I think that's the whole speech for the last.
All I'm saying is we're going to throw some bombs at him and then we're going to quit and go home. So Russia, don't be too mad at us. And China, don't stop loaning us money because of that, as we print $85 billion a month to keep this bolt of buckets afloat called an economy. See, they think the people are stupid.
Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yeah.
Ms. Tracy, even myself, I'm not in favor of our government continually fighting in so-called war on terrorists. Also, we just are not into position of being a so-called police of every country. We have to be concerned about our own needs. Although, I understand, my heart do go out to the people by somebody who gas and do harm to his own people, but still, you know, there's other bad things going in other nations too. I gotta go, but
alrighty.
You take.
Hey, anybody else want to chime in on this? I mean, because we're going to launch an assault. I don't think he's going to go to Congress. That's what I thought, because Senator Kerry laid out a good groundwork. He wants me to go on research. He didn't tell me where to go. He said, but just look. Did he tell me where to go? Did anybody hear me tell me where to go? Hello? Hello?
I don't know.
Tracy and Friends is
Where's
here.
All your guys at? I'm trying to be, you know, not so, you know how I control conversations. So I try to sit back sometimes, Tracy.
You do?
Every now and then I do.
No, you ain't. You over the text. Unless you Facebook and the text.
No,
you know,
I do that all the time. That doesn't have anything to do with right
now. You ain't got it down like Beatrice.
Like
Beatrice. Beatrice got that text and talk and go at the same time.
He can't text and talk.
I'm concerned. And because that's what it sounded like. To me, it sounded like they've already made up their minds.
Oh, of course they made up their minds. He has no choice. He has no choice but to do this. understood. I remember I said this early on. He was going to have to do something because the globalists want Assad out so they can change who is doing, and maybe if we go along with them, we feel like we're going to be part of that change with the globalists because we have this president that's the progressive liberal president that is going to be, their savior or their mouthpiece, per se, or their puppet, because he controls all the nuclear weapons, the strongest weapons in the world still, even though he was talking about reducing them and being very, very flexible after the election.
He did say that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's Deanna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's Jeff?
He's causing problems.
Hey, I agree with you completely. I think that this was just a message to say, okay, kids, get ready. It sounded paternalistic. It sounded like, here's Dad telling us, okay, you kids, this is the way it's going to be. And I thought for sure at the end of the speech he would say, and as of, X time today, missiles have been sent. You know, I really thought it was maybe like a done deal because they are not open to any information from the United States citizens. They've made a determination, and, they don't even have to go to Congress to see what the public opinion of this is. And I think I would disagree with Jeff because I do think he has an out. I think he can say, just as the Prime Minister of Great Britain did, the people have spoken and they don't want this. They've taken enough polls. I'm sure enough people have called their congressmen and representatives, and they should be listening.
I think we're in a no-win situation.
Oh, the president's in a no-win situation.
But see,
who's in a no-win situation.
No. See, this is where I disagree with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The president is in a no-win situation, and because he's in a no-win situation,
mm-hmm.
he's taken the baby with him. And so,
yes and no.
No. That's what I'm saying. America is America. So whatever decision he makes, whether we like it or not, we make. If he goes, we go.
Did you hear that statement? The president is a man that does what he says he's going to do.
Yeah, I heard that.
That was almost the biggest stretch of the whole.
He does.
No, he does.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
He does what he says he's going
to
do.
If you want to keep your health care program, you can.
And you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't because it won't be available.
Well, I can't help that.
Well, on Michael Savage's show last night. He was really on a roll.
I know it. I know Mike was crazy.
He called him a tyrant, and he said he has usurped authority, and he's calling, the shots. And what you think, American people, does not matter. And what Congress thinks does not matter.
No.
No.
That's why he revamped gun laws last night as we slept.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh well, you got to look it up for the specifics. But he changed, certain loopholes in how you can sell or buy guns at the trade shows, et cetera, et cetera. And he did it by his own executive order, caveat, like he's been doing. He's ruling by executive order. He's not ruling by working with and in Congress. And of course, people like us are just being poo-pooed because, you with the Republicans, y'all store-bots, you're this, that, and other. And they don't realize what they're losing overnight, what they're losing daily.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell them statistics. They bowl right over the statistics. Now, 1,429 people were killed in Syria. Let me look up how many were killed in Sudan.
Sudan ain't talking. Listen, Sudan is not talking about the dollar.
I know, but he didn't mention anything about the dollar.
He didn't. That's none of your business.
Yeah, like I said, that's stuff they can't talk about, right?
That's none of your business. See, you tell him, listen, it's on a need-to-know basis. In America, you do not need to know. I'm going to tell you what I want you to know, and what you don't know is up to you.
Well, can you expand my understanding of something that you had said earlier? There's something about how either oil or petroleum, a pipeline or something, fits into this. Was it that this territory is going to be, like, usurped so that it can be portioned off? And is it a pipeline, like, coming from Russia?
Well, no, the thing is they're going to do – this is about as Russia is – supplying the Middle East. They're the number one oil producer in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so now because they are making hand over fist money supplying the Middle East that didn't have any evident oil in certain places and our allies and stuff in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the United States is, and the globalists are moving to cut that off. And so because of something going on in Yemen. Let me get, like I said, let me get that information because I had an article. And the article is by a gentleman that does a lot of things biblically. This guy deals with all world affairs through his Bible study group and all the things that he's doing. He is
like a prophet. In a way, a prophetic thing?
Well, he's very much a prophet, but he goes into the study. He does all the background. He hooks up the political, the political and the historical and the science with biblical, which is what people need to do if they want to make sure that people are not thinking that religion is just this plain ethereal thing that has nothing to do with every day. It is more having to do with every day than anything else.
Well, biblically, we know the significance of Damascus.
Absolutely. And the Bible says it's going to be destroyed, too.
Alabama, your mic is on.
He does say that Damascus is going down.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how this comes to pass, but the thing is we know that has to happen before we have the Armageddon War, where it says God says He's going to put hooks in the jaws of Russia, Gog and Magog. That's Russia and actually Asia or China, and pull them down into the valley up against Israel.
Yes.
It says that when they do come down there. He says, this is the curse that I'm going to smite them with. He says, their eyes shall consume away out of their sockets, and their flesh shall consume away out of their bones. What does that sound like to you?
Nuclear war.
Nuclear blast.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the blast is going to be so great, it's going to kill a quarter of the Israeli army.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says. Now,
well,
see,
and then we hear about the poisoning of the waters, the poisoning
absolutely.
Of the, you know, all the mass destruction of creation.
626, your mic is on.
Yeah, I'm sitting here amazed at Jeff right now. You're basing your foreign policy based on some idiot who has some biblical interpretation.
Wow.
That's dangerous. That makes you like some Ayatollah's kind of.
Wow.
Only if I'm wrong, man. Only if I'm wrong.
Well, the only way you can find out if you're wrong, you're pursuing a policy that it.
I'm not pursuing anything.
For the rest
I made
of
a
it.
Statement. I'm not pursuing
I made
a statement, and either this is all you can do with my statement. You can say, Jeff, you full of it, and it didn't come to pass after it's over. But until then. You have nothing to say. If you don't
I do have something to say.
I
can say that you're crazy until you're proven
yep.
not. You made
absolutely.
A crazy statement.
So
this
yeah. So I'm just going to
that's
say
that's true too. I accept that.
But let me say this. It's amazing. You know, you have to look at the facts of whether you agree with them or whether you like them or not. The facts are still the facts. And if it's written and it looks like it could come to pass, you just got to give it kudos, even if you believe it or not. I mean, it's just like dinosaurs. I've never seen one, but if you show me a bone that big when I go to the Smithsonian or to the Science Institute, it's like, wow, maybe it could be true. But you just can't throw it away because it sounds too far-fetched.
But what Jeff is doing, he has some biblical prophecy beliefs that he has.
But he just said it. All you have to do is no. But see, you listen, Kobe. I mean, this is what you did.
I'm listening.
He said what he said. You called in and said he's got this biblical prophecy, whatever. Instead of just saying, you know, Jeff, I just disagree with you because I think it's this way. See, I mean, you can believe what you want to believe, and he can believe what he wants to believe, and we can choose who we side with. But you came in and demonized him because of what he thought, and he has the right to choose and think as he chooses.
Because it's scared me to death what I just said.
Pardon me?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't scare me. The guy who's walking down the street, a schizophrenic,
Sam, hold on.
Who's going crazy, I'm not scared of that dude. I'm just pointing out, oh, this dude is schizophrenic. He's got a mental problem. I'm just saying that, Jeff, you particularly right now sound like you got a mental problem. And then you want to take that.
Hold on. Whoa. Covina man, this is my issue.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
You went personal. You went personal instead of saying, well, this is where I think it's going. See, I can kill. If you don't like what Jeff said, say, Jeff, I disagree with you because of this. But you can't tell you a psycho because I disagree with you.
That's what's wrong with America today. No, we do that to Al-Qaeda all the time. We say that Al-Qaeda bombed us because they hate us because we play baseball or because we brush our teeth.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm just saying that. People do that. They demonize Al-Qaeda for what he believes. It's the same thing.
But that's personal. And what I'm trying to do
personal.
Is get past.
So what?
So what is not an argument? Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm using common sense, and I believe in biblical also, and it's been going on for some time, especially the tsunami in Japan that happened a few years back. And I think that radiation leaking is worse than what they told us. And just everything, the weather, we talked about this before, the economy.
It's all coming to pass.
It's all coming to pass.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, if you got a Covina man, if you got an argument that's in opposition, then give the argument. But just don't say it's loony because you don't subscribe to a religious belief.
I want Jeff to ask his Bible prophecy expert over here. What is Armageddon and the nuclear leaks from Japan got to do with each other? Because I'm pretty sure they probably come up with something.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
Yes, sir, that's what I'm waiting on.
Here's what I'll say is directly, I don't see the correlation of the two, but I'll say this. Everything is coming together that could not be understood 200 years ago because we didn't have nuclear fission. But as soon as nuclear fission comes together, you start seeing the pages of the Bible come to life because then everything they say is possible. They say there's going to be an event that happens that the whole world will watch at one time and see. Well, before we had the cable news network, you couldn't see. The whole world could not see everything all at one instant. But you can
So my thing is,
the Bible is coming to pass.
Yeah, according to
Hold on, Kavita man. There's a three-way conversation. Go ahead.
I think the fires that are happening in how many states now? We have fires in 9 or 11 states. I think that should scare a lot of us.
Remember when I had on Jonathan Connor, we talked about the harbingers?
Yes.
And the judgment? Remember, you know, we want to talk about how they coalesce and how they don't, but you need to understand everything works in succinct and a synchronization. So, yeah, they may not be relative, but they all relate, whether we like it or not. And there's judgments that are going on across this globe that we don't want to discuss, and a lot of things are not reported. I mean, they let you know what they want you to know, but they don't let you know everything that you need to know. Just like when I said today about what Secretary of State Kerry's conversation. He started out and he talked about a whole lot of stuff, but he didn't say this is going to be tied to the economics of America, because if we don't strike Syria, Russia and China may come in and try to change how we trade our OPEC dollars.
Yeah, you
haven't heard that conversation.
Mm-mm.
On mainstream. So if this is why we're
crazy
going,
people don't.
It's not a,
only crazy people talk is, like that. Normal people don't talk like that.
Only people that know about that talk about that. Kavita man. And I understand if you don't know about it, then you're in the dark. I can appreciate that. I'll make it clearer and break it down to some lower levels so people can grasp. But I know about this, and I'm telling you, that's what this is all about. And when you start seeing that connection with the ports down there, and I'm going to find this in a second, with those ports, you will see what I'm talking about.
And if you've heard, and this is not something that we've actually thought up in our own conspiracy theorist mind. I remember when China called for oil to stop being traded on the U.S. dollar, and that's been several years ago when they first started really talking about that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear it sporadically, but they don't give it to you in the same sentence. And when you're talking about Syria and when you're talking about the Middle East, and you talk about how we are addicted to oil here in America, and what would happen if they were to take the trading of oil, because remember, our wealth is no longer based on gold, it's based on oil.
Yeah, we didn't even get that Keystone Pipeline. And when Obama mentioned phony scandals, I thought I heard him say, oh, that would have only been 50 jobs, Keystone. Well, it was more than that, thousands of jobs.
Correct. And so when you hear all of this, and what they do is they give it to you in jigsaw puzzles, but they hide the pieces where you cannot find them. So you got to go and hunt for your own pieces and try to put the puzzle together. Now, some may be right and some may be wrong, but the actual image is coming together where you can see that there's more to this story than meets the eye. And, Kavita man, if you can't see it, and it comes to biblical proportions because there's a book called the Bible that was written thousands of years ago, that it's like you could not foresee these things happening, yet this little book that says it's going to happen. And you can't, whether you believe in the Bible or not, if it's written and it's been written 1,000 years ago, you got to give it credit because, wow, it said it.
Every home?
It's not like they took the book and it was digital and then they reshaped the book and made it say what's happening today.
Right.
What I'm saying is it was written 1,000 years ago and here it comes back again. It's like, woo, huh. You don't have to believe in the book or the God of the book, but you got to give it credibility that, wow, that's what it said and that's what it did. That's all it's saying. That's just common sense.
Hello?
Yeah?
Are you guys
there, man?
Okay. Yeah. What you have is you have people who are looking in hindsight. They're reading the newspaper. And then they're connecting to something else. And if it happens to be because people are religious fanatics like Al-Qaeda, that they're believing that these things that they're reading in the newspaper is predicting. It's like you're getting the lotto numbers.
You need to
read it in hindsight.
Listen, you need to call Jeff when he's here alone. You need to call Jeff when he's home alone, because I can't handle just that. I mean, that's just crazy. If it's blue, it's blue.
Crazy.
And I'm not shaping the current events to make the color blue. The color came up, it came up blue. Bingo. We're in a conspiracy theory when it was written.
Philosophy is based on a conspiracy theory. There's nothing there except for the fact that you have other crazy people co-signing what you see. There's nothing there. I'm just letting you know. There's nothing here, and you're co-signing. A bunch of people co-signing crazy. And it's only a few.
We agree one thing. I wrote back in January, and right on my Facebook to this day, you want to go to my Facebook and read some of my posts, that this was going to happen because of that Arab Spring. And I said, watch what happens, because I said Damascus is going to go through a very deep thing and just may be destroyed. This may be the time that the Bible was said it's going to be destroyed. But the Bible said it. I didn't say Damascus is going to be destroyed. The Bible says it. And not only that, the blast is going to be so bad, it's going to wipe out some of Israel's army.
So you're predicting that.
I
can take it. Before you go any further.
I don't know about Israel's army, but I know
it may
knock out the
blast,
but I don't think
it's going to take out. It says blast will take out a quarter of their army.
According to Jeff.
And that one's got the blast.
Here, WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. It's open. Mike will be right back.
Challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, things are heating up this summer at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer. Take advantage of the spectacular summer deals, including the Ford F-150. For more details, visit driveoneohio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Return for the life of the spirit is lost. A few measly pennies.
mind. A metal, a beam, and a doggone cross. This out the wall. Now, good God, hear me scream. Don't put it off another day. Everybody sing. Stop the war. Now, 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 now. Don't put it off another day. Why can't we just get a free for that? Please, don't throw another life away. Can't you see enough blood to shed by the wounded and the dead? Enough blood to shed by the wounded and the dead.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I have never heard that before by Edwin Starr.
I
knew he did war.
You know me. I know.
I've never heard that
all
before.
All that stuff from
wow.
My past, because I used to just be in my brother's records, and
That's what I'm saying.
He'd be away from the house. I'd be down in his room, right?
That's what I'm saying. I ain't never heard
of
Stop the War. I ain't never heard of Stop the War. Fine, Stop the War. That was good.
You got it down right. That was. It sounded just like the other one, but it's okay.
Not the point. You know, that's why I only went where it went.
Still, yeah, that's true.
Brown Beasley said that song was only 35 years old.
Yeah, only 35. Hey, Brown, what's up, buddy?
And the number is 347-945-5229. Let's see who's there. Diane, your mic is still on. I went to catch another call. When you call in, I have to switch back and forth. Nice and Blind Mike, South Carolina, your mic is on. Alabama, your mic is on. West Covina, your mic is on also. It is
West Covina, man. You don't make that West Covina.
Hey, Pastor Chuck.
That's where Pastor Chuck is at, out in West Covina.
I have a question for Covina, man.
When he talked about our longest ally, France, is in agreement with taking some action. I had to laugh because I'm thinking, wasn't it in the Gulf War that we called our French fries freedom fries? We didn't want to be associated with the French because we couldn't count on them.
You couldn't even fly over the country.
Exactly. And so now he's praising France in the speech saying our oldest allies.
Kick in the pants. Now, but Bush was wrong. Bush was wrong. Now, here's the thing.
Jeff, now, you can't be putting Bush.
I'm not. Let me put it like this. Over 2 million people died in the Sudan. We had several other millions of people die other places, and we didn't bust a grape to go help anybody. Still not doing it. So now, what is this thing now? They've gassed people. They've done all things. I cannot believe it.
What can't you believe?
I mean, I can't believe that they're going with this much gusto in this.
You got to understand. I'm telling you, listen.
And John Kerry's up there singing the greatest speech of his life.
Jeff.
That's how John Kerry goes.
No, but he don't sound like that. He doesn't.
He sounds very
pompous.
Very pompous and very.
Tracy, can you hear me?
Because he's the Secretary of State.
Jeff.
Tracy, can you hear me?
Sorry. I can't stand John Kerry.
Him, I couldn't figure out at first.
We hear you, whoever it is.
Who is that? I don't know. And then, I thought, okay.
Alabama, what did you say?
No, I had a question because before we went to break, I got in the cube and I didn't get, my mic wasn't turned on. I just wanted to. It was, and I didn't hear it quite well. It was almost as if, Covina Man, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, are you saying that everyone that has a faith is crazy? Or everyone that believes in a faith is somehow intellectually, I guess, shackled or something inferior to people, enlightened people, because they don't believe in a particular faith? I mean, what do you mean? Could you expound on that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. No, I am a person of faith. I am the real Christian. I don't know about these other people. These other people are here crazy. They're like Al-Qaeda. It's like the Muslim is looking at Al-Qaeda and saying, you're not representing real Christian or real Islam. Don't get fooled. I'm saying I represent real Christianity. Don't get fooled by these fanatics, white supremacist people, whatever it is that they're doing. Now, don't get fooled. That's not the real Christianity. These people are children. These people are terrorists just like Al-Qaeda is terrorists.
Okay. I was just, the reason I'm saying that is because
Hold on, Diane. One at a time. Go ahead, Diane.
Nobody on this radio show is encouraging anybody to drink Kool-Aid. Uh-uh. I mean, what we're saying is we have studied and we have found these truths recorded historically, and we're sharing them so that people are enlightened, and we're asking you to study and look at what we share, but we're not in any way trying to influence you to do anything that would be harmful to yourself. And this isn't cultish. You know, when I think about cults, there's, you know, like a mass hysteria, and you follow the leadership. And even if they tell you, you know, like Jim Jones in Guyana, you know, drink the Kool-Aid, or if you won't, we'll inject you with it. Nobody on this radio show has that kind of intent you know, desires to brainwash anybody or cause anybody stress or duress. What we're saying is we see these things, we'd like people to have awareness, and we'd like them to search out these things and make a decision for themselves.
Right.
You know,
go ahead, Alabama.
You know, what I was trying to say was I agree to a certain extent with Covina Man in that, you know, Jesus said the day and hour is unknown. No man will know when the Son of Man comes. So I don't think it's our place to know specifically, or we can see signs. I know that's what you're about to say. There are signs. At the same time, you know, they said when he told, John, the Apostle John, that he would, you know, he'll be there. So people really thought he was going to live to the time that Christ came back. So we don't know. And they thought he was coming back when they oppressed the Jews and they had the big slaughter that time when they hit the Dead Sea Scrolls. So there, I mean, I think I don't specifically claim to, because eschatology, you got premillennialism, amillennialism, so many different ways of in understanding it. I think there's a right way and a wrong way. I do believe that, but I don't think it's our place to, you know for specific, okay, this happened, so that means that it's about, you know, it's within the next 10 years. We don't know that. We don't, and I think sometimes when we say stuff like that, people perceive it to be that way. So,
but that's not what he said. Alabama. That's not what Jeff said today. We were not predicting. He did not predict the day that, you know, it was going to be the end of the world. That's not what he said. What we said was that the prophecies of the of the New Testament and Revelation seem to be magnifying and aligning and bringing themselves into fruition. We don't know when the day of God is going to come, but when it comes, I promise you, you can actually see the alignment, because that what we could not see 20 years ago, you can see fully today.
Sure can.
So we see the alignment, because remember, the internet wasn't around when we graduated from high school, so you didn't know what you know now, and things were different now. We didn't have RFID chips.
We're still talking about 800. It could be 800 years from now.
That's what we don't know. You're right.
But that
does not mean that America's not living in hell for the next 800 years.
And it don't mean that Damascus is not going to get destroyed tomorrow either.
How do you know specifically?
And this is my thing. How do we know? I'm not going to say I'm all that memorizing. Where does it say Damascus is going to get nuked? I mean, I just want to hear that one.
In Ezekiel, you have to read the prophecies of Ezekiel and see what.
Okay,
what's
cool. So my thing
Ezekiel. I'll see if I can find it. Okay, hold on.
Okay, but there are with Ezekiel there are and
hold
with
on,
any
hold on.
Interpretation of Revelation and all
Revelation,
that.
Excuse me.
Hey, watch out!
And,
you know,
in all those passages.
Go ahead.
In all those passages, what happens is, and there's some imagery. There are certain things that we have to be mindful of before we just say. Because, you know,
no,
I just swore up and down.
No, no.
I just swore up and down.
Alabama, before you go, I said I'll find it for you and I'll give it to you. You can read it for yourself. But I got four or five other people before we change the subject. And
right.
Because I'm not talking about eschatology
today.
That's not
right.
Where we're going. We were talking about what happened with Senator, Kerry, and what's going on over in the Middle East and how it's aligning to what it says. Oh, Kalina Man called in and said it sounded like a bunch of hoopla and scared everybody off. And he was crazy. We all crazy because we believe it. But he a man of faith. He is a true Christian. That's what he said. So I just need to pull up some calls. Go ahead, South Carolina.
You know, what gets me, and I've seen this with other folks as well, is when you're making a comment and you mention biblical prophecy, you didn't mention Jesus or anything, you know, immediately, you know, I've found that certain people want to call you, you're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy, or, you know, in case of Gravina, man, I'm the real Christian. I'm the true Christian. You know, here's the thing. I don't care. If that's what you want, that's what you want. But Jeff thinks the way that he thinks. Tracy thinks the way that she thinks. Alabama thinks the way that they think. And if you're going to come on here, you're going to have to respect everybody else and respect everybody's opinion and not say that they're nuts. Because you're operating off of faith just like everybody else. So unless you can absolutely 100% guarantee that what you're saying is 100% without a shadow of a doubt, true blue, okay? Just take it for information and have a coca smile, sit down and shut up.
And I don't mind somebody thinking I'm crazy, because, you know, I have been very out of the box all of my life as far as how I think about things. I mean, I do. I think outside of boxes. I don't think inside, because I was taught not to think like the crowd. I was taught to be different than the crowd. And whenever I get into crowdism, I get into error or get into something that's non-productive for me.
I don't want to go too far, guys, and you guys are getting ready to really try to shift this, and I'm not going to let that happen.
All right.
Go ahead, private caller. I think that's Brown.
I'm listening. I don't.
Okay. I don't want to. Go ahead.
Let me respond to South Carolina. It's like I'm free to call in. It's still a free country. Tracy is free to hang up on me or put me on mute. I'm free to hang up.
Listen, I am. I, you know, this, nothing infuriates me more than everybody trying to defend what they think. I don't care. I don't need for you to defend what you think. I just need for you to know what you think. And it's okay to have an opinion about what you think about whatever everybody else. But to have a conversation about it wastes my time.
I think what South Carolina is saying, that there has to be a macodium of respect and courtesy, and that courtesy begets courtesy, and people's religious beliefs aren't going to be the same, and even among Christians, that it's okay, and that when, you know, saying someone's nuts or telling them to shut up or you're crazy, it's belittling, and it doesn't beget more intelligent conversation. I think that's what he's saying, and I agree with him. Even though some people may be nuts on here, but just
yeah, I mean,
or they may have opinions that are just way out or inside of, or that don't make much sense to me. So I understand what he's saying.
Sure, and understood, and you know, nobody's. I'm not trying to force my way on anybody either. I'm just telling you by what I study, and I'm a person, I'm in every day. I study every day something from the Word. And so, you know, I'm not trying to force upon you what I think or believe. I'm just telling you by what I've studied and with the several different teachers that I study with, that is telling you that this is nothing new. This is something that had to happen. So we're going to be right back after our top of the hour break. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff in the air chair until Tracy comes back out of the hallway. See ya.
Listen to Tracy every weekday.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, they're quiet. Everybody's quiet today.
You know, I don't think that anybody is trying to indoctrinate anyone. I just think it is a good sharing. You know, I mean, that's how we learn.
Yeah.
It used to be in school that we could discuss and debate.
A challenge
helps you to better understand what you believe. Today, I think a lot of people don't study or don't look deeper into the issues. They just by, you know, the news media. And I think that we're being manipulated. So I think that's good to have these healthy discussions. And I don't think it ever gets us anywhere if we are, you know, degrading one another.
I thought one of the intentions of Christianity and other religions, but is to indoctrinate. That's exactly
to indoctrinate.
Absolutely.
The Jehovah's Witness.
They take
scripture from the Bible literally, and that they should spread the word, spread the good news, spread the good word. It's about. Now that may not be some people's intentions, but it is written that you should spread the word, that they want and you welcome and want as many followers as possible.
No. You're confusing Jehovah's Witnesses with mainline Christianity, and it's not. It's so far away from being mainline Christianity.
I'm not going to split hairs with you on what denomination and what sect does what.
It is not a denomination. It's actually
I'm not going to split hairs with you on the semantics of what different factions, sections, groups, sects.
But here's the thing: if you want to disqualify all Christianity because
of
what
disqualifying anyone. All I'm saying is that spreading the word and spreading the gospel and indoctrinating and welcoming more members and
I agree with you, Brown, because
about.
That's fulfilling of the Great Commission. I agree with you. I think
because that's the truth.
The word indoctrination is not a because indoctrination would mean coming in against your own will and forcing you to think a certain way. We accept by faith.
So
no man can brag or boast. So if it's by faith, then it's go ahead.
So indoctrinating. So what the Catholic Church did in South America,
Mexico—that was indoctrination. That wasn't by faith. That wasn't by faith. They just came and forced those people.
I'm just asking, trying to get a definition of the
word. I'm not arguing with you. I think it's by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, by faith. I can't make you twist your arm and kill you if you don't accept my faith. That's the same thing in Israel.
Sure did.
You have
that's
to pay
exactly
the jizya, and that's why
most of
Northern Africa and Central and Western Africa is Islamic right now, because people would come in and say you're subservient, you have to pay the jizya, and if you don't, you can't own land. And in a few generations, everybody's going to claim to be a Muslim just to have a basic way of life. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about accepting the faith and dying. Like I got people that I know that went to foreign countries and will die. Just to share the gospel. That's not indoctrination. There's a difference in going and spreading the gospel and reasoning with someone and sharing the gospel and allowing God to work in their hearts. It's not the same as indoctrination. It's just not.
Exactly.
And when you share the gospel, you think all you're doing is giving these people the information, and then you pray after you talk with people and you say, you know, Lord, I pray that you will now do your work, because anybody who is drawn to Christianity, the true Christianity, is drawn to be a follower of Christ by the Spirit of God. And so anybody could talk to anybody about their faith or what they found in the scriptures.
Hey,
it's up to each person to find his way. And God will speak to each individual.
Hang on a second.
I think we're just supposed to be in the best, and we're supposed to, you know, demonstrate in love these Christian principles. And it wouldn't do anything to honor God for us to represent ourselves in mean-spirited, conduct.
There's so many that don't walk it the way that they talk it. There's so many people that as soon as you meet them. Within 5 minutes of meeting them, or even 3 minutes of meeting them, they're reminding you. And I'm just going to use Christians. I'm sure there's probably Muslims, and I'm sure there's probably pious Jews that do it as well. They remind you that they're Christians. They have to tell you and remind you. They let you know that, and you know that's a knee jerk reaction for me to put my guard up.
Yes, and I've experienced that too. I've had people who have, you know, from different. Denominations have told me this is what you need, and if you will do this practice, or you know, And I think that as I pray and seek wisdom from God, and as I read His Word and it's, you know, revealed, and I get an understanding of it, that's how I'm supposed to live my life. I you know, accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was a real little girl. I don't even remember. I was so young. And I've tried to be...
Were you indoctrinated?
No.
I'm making a little bit of a joke. You were probably your parents probably led you toward this path as a little girl.
I had a beautiful Sunday school teacher,
and your parents brought you to Sunday school, which is fine. I mean, that's how we.
That stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world, from local issues to topics of global importance. Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Yeah, we're back. We're back in the last quarter of afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff here in the air chair. Waiting on Tracy to get done with some important business she had to run and take care of. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. We're talking to you about what's on your mind and about current events and trying to give you a little bit of what's on our mind. And we want you to give us a call here at 330-781-9600 or on our unlimited internet lines at 1-347-945-5229. And we're going to talk to you about whatever it is you want to talk to. But we were talking about what's getting ready to happen here in the Middle East and Syria. I just heard Secretary of State Kerry refer to Bashar Assad as a bully and a thug and this evil person because he gassed his own people. I want to submit something to you just for thought, you know, just think about this. Bashar Assad has kept peace in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
He's kept people from overriding Israel, and the people that are trying to overthrow Bashar Assad want to overthrow Israel.
They want to
see Israel poof go disappear.
Jeff, when you
so I want to know why are we helping the people that want to throw over Bashar Assad? Is it because it has to happen for the well-being of the United States with something that we're not seeing? Because out in the open, we have no reason to go into Syria. No reason whatsoever. So I just want to know what everybody's thinking. And I do want to say one thing. I want to read something to you real quick. Who's my local caller on the local line?
Deanna.
Deanna, can you call me back in about 2 minutes?
I will.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Local caller, you're in there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Turn your radio down.
They were saying that there's no proof that Assad actually used the chemical weapons. They were saying, and in my opinion, who's been wanting us to get into this war? The rebels. They've been wanting us to get on their side. Okay, so how do they do it? They gas their people. They have no scruples.
Nope.
They don't care. They have no value for human life. They don't care if it's a baby, an unborn baby. They don't care if it's an aunt, whatever move. They have no compunction. They want us to get in that war to help them, and they're willing to gas their own brother to do it, and they don't care.
Because they believe that it's okay to do it because of what their belief system is.
Yeah, and I was just telling somebody the other day, who will remain nameless, that I'm going to have to say these people are kind of crazy. But because, first of all, anytime you say, I'm going to kill you if you don't believe what I believe, that's total domination of a person. You want their complete control of that person. They have to bow down to your beliefs no matter what.
That's what dictators do.
The people are
That's what dictators do. There's no There's no opposing.
Oh, Brown, you cut across her. She can't hear you.
A dictator.
Let her finish. Let her finish her point.
I can't
though.
Hear it all. She needs to speak louder.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna try to get it up. I'm gonna try to get her up.
Okay, I didn't even know that she was still talking.
Okay, one more point I have to make. Another reason why a lot of these people are kind of like deranged in their minds, because they've been for generations through generations marrying their first cousins in these countries with their arranged marriages. In Saudi Arabia, they even made it. They were getting so strange acting that they even made a law. One of the princes or the kings or something said, no marrying first cousins for a while. Let's stay off of that. These people have some kind of, I think they have a little bit of genetic defects in their, for them to be so strange acting, you know, that they want to kill everybody. I mean, you know, they've been marrying their first cousins. Come on. Now, for generations, there got to be something going on with the genetics, and there's something going on, like, you know, something demonic, I think. Demonic is what's going on also. So that's all I want to say. And
okay.
In the war.
may I respond?
Okay.
Hold on, Brown. I'm going to let you come in. All right, sis, we thank you for your call.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Brown, go ahead, Doc.
Real quick, let me see if I can keep my thoughts collected. First off, Saudi Arabia is a very close ally of the United States.
Absolutely.
The United States would go to war with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is also a repressive, restrictive, dictatorial, a monarchy. We're talking
Absolutely.
About something really ancient. And the reason why they intermarry with each other is to keep the wealth within a certain circles. So does that make them demonic or no? The bloodlines here. In fact, they got the practice from the English. Secondly, let's talk about illogical and crazy. All right. And I don't hear anyone on any of these cable news saying this. So what we have, or what they're saying we have, is a humanitarian crisis in Syria, correct?
Yeah, that's what he
we
said.
We have something that's unacceptable because it's really like it's the lowest of the low. It's something that crosses the line that shouldn't be allowed, is poison gas, a sarin gas. Now, this civil war has been going on for 2 years. There's been over 100,000 people killed. So correct me if there's something wrong with my thinking, because I don't hear anyone saying this on television. I don't hear anyone saying this anywhere, but I'm going to articulate it real quick. So the way to solve a humanitarian crisis is to drop bombs on people and places. That's the humanitarian way to solve a humanitarian crisis. Now, no one says this. Everyone seems to they seem to regurgitate some of the stuff they hear on television or the news or the standard line, which is, you know, this saber rattling and gearing up for these attacks. These cruise missiles cost $1 million each, and I heard a general on CNN just saying that they're going to expect to shoot 100 of them off. What would $100 million do to help the infrastructure there in the Appalachians? It would probably do
Here's
some,
the thing.
It probably do, it,
That's
would,
why
would,
I'm trying
it,
to tell you.
It probably can do a lot of good.
That's why I'm trying
thing,
to tell you
another
something.
Thing, another thing that I'll stop. When the United States, or when the attitude, when we're only looking out for our own interests, who does what for us, and we're willing to go against our principles and support repressive dictatorial regimes, you set in motion a chain of events where eventually that comes back around, and you are not going to have people that are going to be happy and productive, and you're going to have uprising in these countries all the time. And these people are made to look crazy. These people are repressed. And whether it be in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, all of these countries. So when you support dictatorships, but you wave the banner of democracy and freedom, That's the height of hypocrisy.
Well, I have to agree with you that's what it is. But the bottom line is that this has nothing to do with democracy or freedom of what they're doing over there. They're restructuring how it works. They're restructuring the world system. I told everybody.
This is a continuation. I'm not going to cut you off. This is a continuation the Bush doctrines when he made the axis of evil, and he included Iraq, Syria,
mm-hmm.
and this is a continuation. This is the same forces moving. It's the same mindset. It's the same foreign policy, so to speak. So they were waiting for the opportunity. It's a continuation of the same thing. John Kerry
of
is
course.
CFR. He's a billionaire.
Yes, sir. Hold on. Yeah. Say the whole thing because everybody doesn't know what the CFR
okay.
is.
John mm-hmm. Kerry is Council of Foreign Relations.
Yes, sir.
He's in the same club as the neocons and the militarists and the New
Absolutely.
World Orderists. That were in the Bush administration. So it's a continuation of the same thing. And,
absolutely.
And when this is politicized, it's sad because people are going for the okey-doke.
I also found
it was really interesting that Britain decided not to take part. That's a major move.
I don't because Britain already has its place. You have to understand that when we're talking about these organizations that you just mentioned, CFR, the Bilderbergers, all the groups of the top five families that run things, you're talking about the globalists. And the globalists have this down to their science. They know what they want to do. They had to create the atmosphere for President Obama to come on the scene and take control, and he did. And he's doing everything that he wants them to do. They're wiping out people with abortion. They're destroying the effects of the church in America because the church in America is bowing down and worshiping at the feet of politics. Not the whole church, of course, but by and large.
No, yeah, no, it's been politicized. You're right.
Well, and so that's what they're doing here. They're controlling it quite well. But once again, this is about who's going to be the petrodollar in the future, because there's a huge thing. Now, for those that were wanting to know what I was saying earlier, go to Isaiah 17 and go through verses 1 through 6 about, you'll see what I'm talking about the destruction of Damascus that the Bible absolutely predicts. I'm not saying this for reasons of that I'm trying to tell you it's going to happen right now for sure. I don't know that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the Bible says that the political things are going to happen to make this happen, and it is right before our face right now.
Yes. Well, you know, Jeff, we want to have people have this awareness. And, you know, I was thinking about this. We're telling too much of what we would do. We're saying we would do a limited strike. We're saying that we would take out, like, the aircraft that could disperse
right.
the gas. Who's to say that they don't round up innocent women and children and put them in these aircraft hangars? And when we destroy them, we end up
destroying them, too.
Destroying them.
Innocent women and children are going to be killed anyway in a cruise missile bomb.
Well, but we know collateral damage is going to happen, Brown.
Right.
But we
yeah,
but
you
the
know,
thing
you
is,
know,
is
you call it, you can,
they will.
You can call
they're going to make it so like we did it. You have to understand who these people are.
That's it. We have no idea.
Yeah.
So their propaganda being effect as if a propaganda machine isn't on full force right now.
Here for staging things and making our. Military look like we are, you know, aggressors.
Right. Hold on, South. You're coming up next.
And you know how they're always talking about, how we feel that we're imperialist and we, we rule the world. You figure all these other major countries that are standing down, but, you know, we feel emboldened to go.
Right.
There's just not wisdom. What we're doing.
No, you're absolutely correct. South Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but the California legislature has approved a bill that allows non-physicians to administer suction abortions in the first trimester.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
midwives can now give abortions.
You have to understand something when this is happening, that why are they going on this vent? It's not just to provide abortions, because we provide abortions here, but they're on an extra forced, we got to get rid of these babies. These people can't have these babies. Why are they doing this? And I don't understand why we're not thinking this out or through. 817, if you want to talk, you're open. Not so blind, Mike, you are in as well. And this is the most heinous thing. We have to start thinking about that, and we're getting ready to go to break here. I'm sorry, you guys. But this is crazy, and we need to really take a look at it, and you need to be talking to whoever your representative is that's not representing you. And if you're an African-American under the sound of my voice, you need to understand it's the majority of you are being wiped out by this thing called abortion. 37% of 1.2 million a year is you. Why are they trying to make it more available for you to do that? Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. I'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, South Carolina.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Oh, just got back. I had to duck out of here for a little bit. I had to run up the road. My computer was ready up the road, so I had to go pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How do you use a computer?
It talks.
I just didn't know.
I knew that was coming.
No, it talks.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. My video card is going on the blink, and then it works, and then it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's working. And I was like, I need one that talks. And I have to ask. I'm curious. How do you make it down the road? You walk?
No, I arrange for someone to come pick me up.
Okay.
And I had to work my schedule around theirs because they were doing me the favor.
Right.
And while I was out, I picked up an ID card so I could vote.
I thought you had a talking car.
Oh, that's next.
You never know.
No. No, my wife.
The lights are on.
Pardon?
I remember when it first came out with a talking car.
Yeah, my mother's car.
Lights are on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, they talk now. In fact, I rented a car last summer.
Now you're a night rider.
Yeah. You want to know something? I got a solution for everyone that's so up in arms about abortions and gay marriage, and it's a real simple solution. It's a real simple solution. If you're against abortion, then don't have one.
Yeah.
And if you're against gay marriage, don't marry somebody of the same sex.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were going to combine the two, and then if you're against abortion, marry someone gay, and you don't have to worry about getting pregnant.
Yeah, well,
there you go. It's another thing. I mean, that's my simple solution.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about that is, though, you know, I have a definite stand against abortion because I think I see the way it's being played, especially in the black community. But if you're gay, that's your business. I don't have any problem with you. If you want to, who you want to sleep with is your business. The problem is for me is when you throw it in my face and say that I'm intolerant because I think it's wrong. I'm not going to go out of my way to come see somebody and then say you're gay. That's wrong. No, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave up trying to play God many, many years ago.
But I will say this, I do take offense when they try to tell me that, you know, being gay is the same thing as being black.
Right.
You want to fight on your hand. I have a real issue with that now.
There's definitely a disconnect there. There's definitely a disconnect there.
Right.
And rights.
Oh, I wish we weren't on a public radio channel right now. I could have you guys in stitches with some comments on that subject, but we'll let that one. I'll err on the side of wisdom and judgment to prove that I'm 64 years old and I've learned something over the years.
We're actually not. We're actually
heard
not
some
on
of
public.
The story you told, so we'll save it for when we see each other face
to
face.
Yeah, I'll save it when we see each other and have a good laugh over it. But we are actually. Was that Texas that said that to me? We're not on.
No, that was Beasley.
Oh, hey, Beasley. What it is this is still being recorded, and if you go listen to the replays of the show, all of this is all our nonsense is there too.
On another note,
sure.
Lamar Odom got caught. Lamar Odom got a DUI last night at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
What's up with that, man?
You know something? I was reading TMZ when all of this stuff broke, and I was like, this evil Kris Jenner, this guy is, he's skipping out on his marginal looking wife, and he's having a little fun. He's doing what basketball players do, and they're making him a drug addict. You know, and I'm thinking, how could he possibly be a raging drug addict with the testing that goes on in the NBA? And I know it's got to be pretty comprehensive testing. It's hard to beat. But he got pulled over. He drove 3 exits without stopping. That's enough time to swallow whatever or get rid of whatever you had. They couldn't find anything in the car. Uh-huh. They said he didn't pass the sobriety test and he refused to take the chemical test, which was smart. Uh-huh. But just him being out at 4 or 5 o'clock.
That everybody is listening and paying attention, because if you do, here's the thing. I'm not telling you that I know all the answers or anything like that. I know some answers, and I know a little bit beyond what our media shows us, because our media is just, I mean, they're in business to make money, and they think they're in business to shake the country and the world. They're in business to report news, but they think they are in business to make the news up and give it to you and give you their slant of what they think it means without any background to support it. That is something, that's a travesty in my mind. It's a travesty of justice. It's a travesty of their positioning. And for the country to have been as great as it was at one time, it's a shame that we've sunk to the level we have because of those in the news media that insist upon reporting fallacies, lies, and their own image of what they think things should be. Well, we're bringing up the chat room now, and local caller, you are in the air.
Yeah, this is Steve. You constantly put down and poo-poo the religious people. That
whatever I do, man, it's because of my study. You shouldn't leave with that, because I ain't for it. I mean, I'm not trying to have that here now. This is Friday.
What did he say?
About Bible prophecy, and I'm saying that they believe they're living in the last days because they always try to discourage me.
And what's the point?
My life together.
What's the point?
Their God, Jehovah.
What's the point?
So they're telling me that, they're telling me that the Great Tribulation is going to come when the nations cry out peace and security.
Okay.
In other words, I think that's in 1 Thessalonians.
Okay, whatever it is, wherever it's at, I'm not asking you to go through all that.
They're going to cry out peace and security, and that is when destruction will come upon the nation.
They shall cry peace, peace, but there shall be no peace till Shiloh comes. Go ahead.
And that's when the Great Tribulation will be, as Jesus is
referring
to in the Bible.
And your point is?
Well, my point is, Jeff, is that Jesus also says us, you don't know when that day will come.
If you knew the Bible, you would know what that statement means, too. And the thing is like I said, once again, I don't have patience for people that have made up belief systems off of the Bible, and because they made them up, they have these cultic understandings of things that have nothing to do with what the Bible said.
Let me ask you, Jeff.
You know that Charles K. Russell was the founder of it.
I could care less who founded it. It is not biblically sound. It is not biblically correct.
How do we know that?
Because you have to study.
They
study their Bible, the ones that they rewrote. That's what they study.
At one time, did
Okay. Thank you, Steve. I'm done. I'm done, Doc. Okay. Go ahead, Brown. Ask your question.
No, you said that you study.
Yes, sir.
You know, you said people with their made up or their contrived positions. When you study, do you take the English words and translate them into Hebrew?
I take the Hebrew and the Greek words and translate them into English, the closest to what they meant in their language. Yes.
All right. Sorry.
That's
so you actually do a little bit more in depth and study than most.
Oh, I do a whole lot in depth and study because when I became a born again Christian, I was serious about understanding it. I didn't see just Pastor raise your hands and praise the Lord in church or stuff like that. That's good. I mean, we're supposed to praise and worship the Lord. But I'm saying it had to be heavier for me because God took me that way. He took me deeper. And, you know, and that's why I'm saying some of these things. I can't take the juvenile thought of that's why people discount people to believe in the Bible, because their understanding is not great a lot of times. And because it isn't, you can use scientific things and destroy a misinterpretation of the Bible to where it looks like the Bible is just stupid and crazy, but it's not. But go ahead.
It's almost like our news media that reduces things to a pablum, to a
absolutely
real simple, to a real simple baby food that people, you know, spit up and regurgitate. You know, I agree with that.
Okay, Alabama, you can press your one if you want to talk. Unlisted caller, you just called in a minute ago. If you want to talk, hit your one. So I know you want to talk because I don't like to bring people up if they don't really want to talk. But that's where we're at. But look at this thing that's going on over here. All of a sudden, Mubarak in Egypt. Egypt
He's out of the news. Mubarak in Egypt is out of the news.
Oh, yeah. You know, they released him.
Well, no, but the whole situation in Egypt, remember how 2 weeks ago when I was calling in? That was that was the main news story. That was the main news story.
Oh, yeah.
That is out of the news.
Yes, sir.
I fell asleep with CNN on it. It's out of the news, and all we're hearing about Syria. You know, I don't like saber rattling. It's like a bully. You know,
well,
I'm going to bomb.
They're not bullying.
I'm going to get you after school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, yeah, your butt is mud. Yeah, I'm going to pound it to you. I'm going to shoot some cruise missiles at you. I'm going to sock you up. You know that? I really don't like the position and the idea of the bully. And anything that the little guy does, you know, out of fear, it's not. Of course it wouldn't be justified in the media and the minds of people, but can you almost not blame them? What if Syria were to attack first if they had the capability?
They have the capability. You just don't know.
They got their hands full in the Civil War.
They have their hands full in the Civil War, but that does not – go ahead, South. I'm sorry.
We've said this over and over and over again. Where do you think the weapons from Iraq went to?
I don't believe that for 1 minute.
I know you don't.
Get out
of
town. Yeah, you got that's a cop out and excuse for the intelligence that started the Iraq war. Please give
Brown,
me a break.
There was
no faulty
intelligence
to back that up. You guys
yes,
have
you
no
do.
Science, no
Brown.
Evidence to back that up.
Brown, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Okay, now, last year
give
when
me a break.
This,
you got, why can't you just well, say,
wait a minute now, Brown. Well, here we go. Now, you got to listen to me now. If you
go,
you all upset.
Ahead,
you made
on,
your statement
you
about how you think this ain't right.
Speak your
last
point.
Last year when they bombed their own people with gas, and then President Obama said, well, I have to see proof. Now, he said he had to see proof last year. He couldn't do nothing last year. But now, since they think he's done it again and killed 1,500 people, they're up there with all of this evidence now of them doing it. That's a bunch of BS, right? First of all.
Oh, no, no.
All that's right. A bunch all of mess. Here's the thing. Now, here's the thing. We knew what Saddam Hussein had. You know why we knew? Because we gave it to him. the United States backed Iraq in the 10-year war that they had with Iran. Do you understand that?
They gas each other.
That's plain and simple. They're playing. Wait a minute. Let me say one statement. They're playing you up against me or others, you know, the two sides of a political spectrum, and you think that, well, they couldn't possibly be those doggone Republicans. They're liars and this, that, and the other. But it's okay now since it's the Democrats, see. Not with you necessarily,
no,
but
no,
wrong
is wrong, right? Exactly.
But that's how it's
right.
going. Do you see how they're doing it?
No, of course.
They play us.
It's always positioned like that.
But they're playing us. That's the whole thing. They think we're stupid, and they think that you don't know. But all you have to do is look. We gave them those weapons. Colin Powell told you. They're shipping them out. We see these caravans leaving, of trucks leaving out of the capital there and going X, Y, and Z, going towards
Colin
Syria.
Colin Powell, he has a lot of credibility.
Well, but the thing is he's not. You see, they disrespected him and he left, and he's more liberal leaning now. Well, he was always liberal leaning, but
I wouldn't say he's liberal leaning. He's speaking out of turn now because he's not in the military. This is a career yes man. This is a career.
I don't know about that.
Absolutely,
I don't
when you're in the military,
that.
You are a yes man. You do what you're told.
I don't believe that.
He's no hero, and I have people.
I have high respect for Colin Powell, even though I don't have respect
don't.
For his political leanings at this time.
Jeff,
Wait a minute. Not so blind. Go ahead.
I was going to say the weapons did go to Syria, and here's how I know. I know this as a fact because of other researchers I did, and I ran into the evidence of it accidentally. There is a gentleman, and you can look this up in Iraqi politics. There's a gentleman named Sadr. Sadr hung out in Iran and Syria. He came back to Iraq about 2 years ago. He threatened with his militia to take down Maliki's government. This is all stuff you heard on Al Jazeera, and you can read the news reports and everything else. They're reporting this until Maliki came to a compromise, and Sadr said, we're going to hold off and give you 6 months to get the government together. I'm going to tell my militia to stand down because the government almost came apart 2 years ago. And there's this city being built, 84,000 new housing units in – tell you the guy, the power Sadr has, 84,000 units are being built of housing units in a town named after his family and tribe called Sadr City. And Sadr was the one who moved the weapons across the border, and all the dots connected. And he told me that I'm so powerful, I not only have my militia, but I have the weapons of mass destruction.
With all due respect, you didn't prove your point. You stated
well, here's the thing.
But I'm telling
you
there were more
sources
out
nobody
there
has
with my
evidence.
Point of view than yours.
No, you can't.
You had some information, but you did not prove the point.
It would prove it to you if you did the research. It's proven to me because Sadr said he had the weapons. But he told because he moved them. He was in control of the weapons of mass destruction, and Sadr wielded a lot of power behind the scenes politically, and held that fragile coalition government together 2 years ago.
Was he not a high ranking military officer of the Iraqi army?
Yes, he was.
No, he's talking about
a
religious guy.
No, he's not talking about a religious guy. He's talking about a colonel, or a general in that army, which is what has always been reported in the case, because Colin Powell mentioned him in several different scenarios of things that were going on. See, here's the thing. I don't care nothing about our news media here in the United States because they are nothing but money-grubbing liberal idiots, and I have no respect for them. Okay, so, but the thing is I know one thing. It would be very stupid of George Bush to have said this stuff and not had any proof. But they found the canisters that were used. Wait a minute. The canisters that were just recently.
There's never been any evidence presented that George Bush is smart.
That's not, well, yes, there has. Yes, there's quite a bit of evidence that he's very smart. But the thing is the news media destroyed him.
He led the country. He left the country in very good shape. I'm going to go.
No,
you guys can go ahead.
Go ahead. Bye,
can
Ralph.
Go ahead with this one.
Okay.
Just disagree.
Once again, for those that want to be sensible, I'll say it like this.
Right.
George Bush had a hell of a thing to deal with because he got attacked in his first year of the presidency. Not nobody else. He got attacked.
Because he wasn't
this
vigilant
was
enough to watch to listen to
what,
the
no,
signs
it wasn't
that
at
there.
All. It had
dropped
nothing to do with it.
Have a nice
it did
day,
not.
Have
if
have
it did, then it
yeah,
was because
well,
of, it was because
ball.
Of Bill Clinton. But
yeah,
Bill Clinton didn't do anything wrong either.
You're politicizing again. Talk to you.
See you, Brown.
Well, you're going to go back one president, go back two. Don't stop it. It overlaps.
That's right. You have to go back to quite a bit.
Circumstances overlap.
Unlisted caller, you just came in.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I see why people say that the black man and woman are becoming cowards in the United States. I see exactly why. I mean, we say we Christians, one minute we say we shouldn't be fighting and all that, but we'll jump up and we'll go help these people fight these other people in other countries. But when they're sicking their dogs on our women and our children, we don't do nothing. We sit back and do nothing. But soon as the same people who are attacking our children, our women, our kids, go start a fight somewhere else, we the first one in line to go and defend them. That don't make no sense at all to me.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Oh, no.
But here's the thing. This is
no
not
thing.
Going
ain't
to...
No... Go ahead.
No, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I've been listening to this show for like the last 2-3 years. I mean, our children are out here in the streets dying daily. I mean,
yeah.
we're talking about all this mess, and we can't even come together to do something about our children out here dying in the streets. We worried about other people in other countries when our children are over here dying. And then we only make up 13-14% of the population in America, but but 50% of the people that's in the army and all that is 50% of them are black. So in other words, when something happens, they send us over there to fight, and our children over there dying. But their children,
well,
when you go to Congress and all that, none of their children are over there fight.
That's not true.
That doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah, but that's not true either, though. Many people that are in Congress and stuff have kids that are in the military and doing
the people on TV must be wrong because they had something on the news a few weeks ago and it was very few. At all, there was very few of the people who were.
Very few is not none.
Had children over there. I mean, I'm talking
very,
about it was like around 5 or 6.
Well, I don't believe that, but it's okay.
I mean, well, you don't have to believe me, but you can go look it up there and see how many people that's in the White House.
But you said
and
none
the
of them had children. You said none.
That had children over their fight.
Okay. Well,
none.
Here's
go
the deal, bro. Here's the thing. Okay. It doesn't mean anything to me because of this.
Yeah.
If it were a righteous war, I could understand it. This is not a righteous war. This one right here is a globalist forcing of the president's hand.
That's not what you said earlier this week.
Yes, it is.
Earlier this week,
I don't know
you said that it was. You said it was Christianity against Islam. You said it was.
No, I said that's no.
Yes,
you didn't hear me correct. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you exactly what I said because I know what I said. I told you, you're seeing the setup for the huge final conflict of good versus evil or Christianity versus, can I finish? Good versus evil or Christianity versus radical Islam.
Yeah, which one is Christianity, though? I know if you're
which
talking
one is,
about America,
well,
that's pathetic.
Here's the thing. It's not evident yet because the Christians haven't entered the fray.
Yeah.
The only thing
but
is that
you,
what
say,
you're,
yeah, but we follow,
I'm not
but
done.
We follow people who are setting up the things that's going on, and we say that they're Christians.
You're voting for the people that are setting it up, and that's what's crazy. What's crazy about it.
Now, if you're talking about Democrats, that's a problem.
I ain't talking about just Democrats. I'm talking
fighting in the streets, and we still on the radio talking about the same stuff.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, we want to better the way that life is for ourselves and our children.
Then why is the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, why is he suing the state of Louisiana because the state of Louisiana is providing vouchers for some 8,000 students? It's not coming out of taxpayer dollars. It's not taken away from the school budget from the State Department of Education. This money is extra money that's left over, that's sitting in a surplus fund that they're using. So these 97% of these kids are African American can go to a better school.
Well, you talk. He brought it upon him too. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You don't see that in the news media though.
I don't care if we're hearing the news or not. He's part of the problem.
Okay, well, listen.
I'm not defending him either.
Well, here's my point. Well, here's my point is we're voting for the Eric Holders, okay? We're voting for every time. President Obama came into office and went straight to D.C. You know what the first thing he ended? The voucher program. My point is, that's why we're here on the radio every day, because we want to shed some light on those types of things. So next time we vote, maybe somebody will be conscientious enough to ask questions about the education system instead of just rolling over and thinking that that the one side is always right. They're for the working man when they're not for the working man.
That's
working
what,
man is
when
dying.
When I listen to the radio, it seems like that's what all y'all say. One talking about the Republicans, right? One talking about the Democrats.
We didn't say the Republicans are right all the time. What we're saying to you is the Republicans represent the freedom to work through the system here. They need a system where they can walk through the system and take advantage of things where they don't have to be beholden to government to give them something. That's what they need, and that's why I agree with. That's why I agree with that side of things.
We all need.
Well, you all need God, but everybody ain't gonna. But everybody ain't gonna believe in God, Doc, and so we can't.
Whether they believe in Him or not. But the ones who got the platform, who say they're Christians, who God bless them with the voice to be able to speak to people, and they're talking about the same thing that everybody else talking about on the radio.
Well, you do talk radio, you talk about what's going on. I ain't here to necessarily preach something to you, but guess what? If you listen to what I say, you'll get the message. Because I'm sure that's sure enough where I'm coming from. I am definitely a stealth fighter for the right and for the truth. 334, go ahead, my friend. Alabama, is that you? He must. Okay, 334-557. You can come in when you're ready. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Yeah, I started talking. It didn't work. But check this out. There's something, a point before Brown hung up, I wanted to make. It's interesting now how everybody's pretty much telling us that the agitators over there in Syria, Obama's supporting, right? Well, that means that our government, because when you say agitators, that's really Al-Qaeda. That's who that is.
That's exactly what they are.
Okay, so we're supporting Al-Qaeda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet we still say that they're the bad guys.
Yep.
If that's the case now, you mean to tell me 10 years ago we didn't have no cool? Because people were saying that now they were called crazy people. Like people, I was one of them that would quote people and say, one-sixth of the nation believes that Al-Qaeda's whatever, part of the CIA or whatever. But now we're seeing that come to fruition.
Absolutely.
And it happened in Libya. So let's retake it. Let's go back and look at 9/11. And now through understanding now that these guys are on, because look at it. You're saying that Bush, his agenda to go out and police the world agenda, Obama's doing the same. We're saying
I don't
that.
Agree with
that. So we have to go back and look at 9/11 and say that there's some holes going on now. Because if that's true, it's not like we just became allies within the last couple of years when Obama got in here. We've been like that. And then the point about the gentleman that just called up, he was making a point. He made a point about black people. He's saying our kids are dying on the streets. Well, black people have systematically came and supported one party for the last 80 years, and then when they got in, didn't hold them accountable. So until we do that, we're not even involved. It's like, I hate to quote Tracy, but we're not at the table. We're voting and disqualifying ourselves because as soon as somebody gets in office with a D by their name, they're good people, and that's it. So, I mean, if you're going to play the game like that, you're going to get screwed. Not to say vote Republican either, but don't vote 100% one way because that's what's going to happen.
I agree with you.
So, I mean, we've been voting for the same guys. Like, even with Martin Luther King, I put this on Tracy's page. Martin Luther King was paid by Kennedy. It was the Big Six, and Malcolm X said it at the time. He was like, the Big Six organizations got paid because that was a grassroots thing on the March on Washington, and they came in and placed him ahead of it and turned it from a being upset event to a peace-loving event because people were upset at the time. So we're being whitewashed and trained to think one way, and then we've been voting for the – because think about it, seven people switched parties during that big Southern strategy. Seven. So we voting for the folks that was fighting for segregation. That's who we voting for.
That's
Governor
exactly
Wallace. I'm from Alabama. We voted for that guy until the 90s.
Exactly.
Black people.
You might as well be putting Bull Connor going incognito is what you vote for every single election cycle. And that's what
Bill Clinton's up
to me
there. Bill Clinton's
about
up there. His mentor was a Klan member. He fought for segregation. He was up in there until like 78, 80. Black folks voted him in. I don't get it.
Absolutely. I get it because they've been taught and conditioned. See, here's the thing. We as black people have been discouraged every time that we try to get into be independent. Every time we try to be independent, that's what happens. So we get there, they kill us off. They start the Klan. They do the Black Codes. They shoot up Black Wall Street. They beat us back. In 1964, they did the greatest of all. They put in the Civil Rights Act under a Republicans voted for it under a Democrat president, and then they tell everybody that the Democrats fought for civil rights, which was a lie. The Democrats did not vote for the civil rights law. Very few of them voted. And 20 out of 21 Southern Democrats voted against Civil Rights Act. So that stupid moniker that the Dixiecrats became Republicans is a lie. But they keep saying it over and over and over, and then what do we have? We have people that, those Klansmen, those Republicans as Klansmen. And even up to Richard Nixon poured money into the black community. Ronald Reagan gave access to everybody. He was the only one in that movie, The Butler, that changed the black butlers getting paid less than the white butlers. And they acted like Reagan was this real prejudiced guy, which I didn't like Reagan, but I didn't think he was racist. I thought his wife was, though. But here's my point. It didn't have nothing to do with what they just said. It was a lie. But the thing is, the masses of people don't read, they don't understand, and what happens? You get taken. That's what happens. You get taken. And that's what has happened. Every single time. Every time. Not just sometime. So that's my little rant right there, y'all. So I can't take it. But and that's what I'm talking about, Alabama. We get played. We get played over and over and over again. And the people don't realize. They don't realize last night you go ahead after Congress refused to do anything on gun control. The left and the right refused to do anything on gun control. But what happens? In the middle of the night, the president instills his own thought on it. And you got people, yeah, he's doing the right thing. He is not doing the right thing. You can't defend yourself. All the criminals will have every weapon known to man. And you and your little law-abiding self will have nothing to defend yourself with. And then if your government acts a fool on you, where are you going to go then? That's the thing that's going on. I'm sorry. Somebody talk to me. 843, I got South Carolina and Not So Blind Mike, Alabama, and my man that was talking about, we saying the same thing. You have to get away from the structure that holds you in a position to where your kids don't learn and where they're killing each other. But they need you there so you vote for them to keep them in power. Go ahead,
Joe. You can't legislate morality.
You don't have to, but you can sure enough legislate control of your school system.
We can keep doing that forever.
But
going back to that. But, Jeff,
but that's not true either. You can legislate morality.
97% of all these kids down in Louisiana are black. Why would you not want them to get a better education? The schools that they're in are making F's, man.
Because, South, you know the deal. If you mess around and let them get educated, then you can't tell them any old thing and they believe it. They just might break out of that craziness that you've been teaching them and telling these lies all these years. I'm not telling you that Republicans have done all the good things. I'm not telling you that at all.
Yeah, but if somebody come on the radio and listen to you, that's what they'll get out of it.
Well, that's good because you know what? I dispel the lies. This is why it's good. This is why it's good because I dispel the lies that are told about the Republicans. That's what I do.
Do
I dispel the lies. Yes. Because I tell you the truth.
I don't know what.
I just said it a minute ago. It was not the Democrats. I said the Democrats did not pass civil rights legislation in America. It was Republicans.
That's not what you just said. What you just said,
that's
exactly, you dispelled the lies of Republicans. That's what you said. You might have missed
I did not tell you that I dispelled the lies of. I said I dispelled the lies that are told about Republicans. I am a Republican. And I'm proud to be one. We got to
start a lie no matter what side it come off.
Well, you tell me what the Republicans lied about, and I'll dispel it. We can't do it today, though, because it's time to go. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll see you Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. We will see you later. I hope you have a great weekend. God bless you. Tune in again on Tuesday, and we'll be here just for you, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. See ya.
Rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOS.
You've been listening to Afternoons.